Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
When knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. When knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet unsing able. We're off to bed in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
hear... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
were the devil, if I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
the turtle. All rise for King Caesar the Turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one, but four separate chat rooms. Woohoo, that takes a lot of breath out of you, Barbara.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah, okay. So, I played I posted a video link inside the chat room, and you just have to go, I played it on there. I don't know if you are fast enough to catch the lyrics and stuff like that. You just have to go watch it and actually read the lyrics. I started off on sort of a spiritual journey this morning. I need to check my microphone over here. Testing. Yep. Okay. Better. Ah! Alright, let's try that. That's a little better. Okay. Anyway, I started off on sort of a spiritual journey this morning and looking for something to talk about today on the Knights of the Round Table. Sometimes we don't even do that. We just kind of show up and it just happens. But sometimes you got something on your heart and you're trying to make a profound statement, and it's not as always as easy as it sounds. You know, there's so much to pick from in this world. There's so many battles going on, so many crazy things. Anyway, I started off, and the first thing I came across was I was looking at some videos from, you know, all nations people that were doing dances at a powwow, and then something really struck me, you know, I guess personally, because I am a veteran. I'd seen this man carrying a American flag, and I saw a man carrying a prisoner of war flag, and it just started my mind down this journey yet even further, thinking back in history and all the things that flag represented and all the people that had sacrificed so much in order for us to be able to be free here in America. And so it made me remember that throughout the entire history of America, there were a lot of people that really had a lot of reasons to be angry. There were a lot of atrocities happening, you know, from both sides of the fence, actually. And, you know, there were things in history that a lot of folks didn't know about. There was so much that went on throughout the entire history to get us to this point where we're at today. And as I was moving along in my journey and thinking about all that, about how many people from cultures that weren't necessarily treated well, and there's a lot of cultures. There's a lot of history, because America is essentially like the melting pot of the world. There's people from all different races and creeds and colors and religions and belief systems and stuff like that that migrated here to try to find a better world because they heard of you know, what was going on, and they had a chance to be free, or, you know, not be oppressed or whatever. And some didn't even have a choice to come here, but they were brought here nonetheless. We're all here together now. Anyway, as I'm going through this journey, I'm thinking all about all these different things, these different aspects of the world that we find ourselves in. And I come across this video that I posted in there, and I'm looking at it, and I'm listening to the lyrics of it, and I'm watching as the lyrics are going across the screen, and it's really hits me deep in the core, because my heart's it's a peaceful kind of thing there. I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, I just death and destruction doesn't do it for me. It's just I got these scales of justice thing that have to be balanced out, you know, fairness and everything, and I don't like I don't like death. I don't like destruction. I don't like people doing without or not being able to, you know, live freely and things like that. And so, you know, looking at this and listening to these lyrics and actually thinking about, if you look in this the thumbnail, on there's a child standing there with a basketball in his hand, and he's looking out into the world, and I'm thinking, you know, all these children are growing up in a world where lyrics and songs are basically angry, talking about war, talking about death and destruction, and even talking about the battles between good and evil. They're talking about killing in the name of their Lord or whatever, fallen angels and stuff. Now, that other song that I played, Black Sabbath, talks about, the world is full of kings and queens that blind your eyes and steal your dreams, and it talks about the battle between heaven and hell. And I look at the whole picture when I'm looking at anything. I always step back and I look at the whole thing. I absorb it all in. I'm thinking about, I'm kind of battle weary. I've seen history of battles and heard stories of wars and rumors of wars and so on. The good book that I subscribe to said that blessed be the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And that's what I strive for. I strive for peace. I strive to be close to the Creator. I want goodness in the world. I want goodness in life. And so when I see the world in the shape that it's in, and I ask the question, it's probably a stupid question, because is the world angry? And I'm not just talking about the people of the world, I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about the whole thing, everything, all of existence. Is all of existence angry? Is this the destiny of mankind to get angrier and angrier until finally you come across this final battle between good and evil? I said, it kind of sounds funny, but I'm really serious about it. I said that during the apocalypse, I'll be the last man standing on the battlefield and yelling at the top of my lungs, peace and love, can't we all just get along? Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's what my heart's made of. It's just, I don't understand how this world can be the way that it is, how people can treat each other the way that they do. Because I see this amazing creation before us, and I see that, this has been gifted to us, and we have all these resources and all the capabilities of doing such wonderful things, but yet there's just fighting, and there's wars and sickness and ridiculousness. And so this subject about the world being angry, it's going to be a hard message to try to get across, because I don't want to drag your soul down into the darkness of the great abyss and make you feel like, this is all hopeless and there ain't no way that we can do anything about it, because that's not what a peacemaker does. A peacemaker doesn't bring you to the darkness and keep you there. A peacemaker shows you that there's a problem that you can resolve if you really truly believe in not just yourself, but that spirituality or whatever divine entity that created you, that is the true glory. It's not always easy to try to pick the right words to speak out to all the masses of the world, because of all the different types of cultures and beliefs, and there's a lot of anger out there, a lot of anger at God, a lot of anger at each other, a lot of anger that sometimes is unwarranted, because it was two sides trying to fight for an agenda, or entities that got into the government that want to further an agenda for more power or whatever. There's so much to be said about it, but the ultimate power actually lies in the people's hands. The government, when we say government, the government's corrupt, Well, yeah, the government is corrupt, but you got to be honest with yourself. The people are corrupt as well. A wonderful friend just said something here recently, just real recent, that there were people turning against their own people in history. That doesn't get basically spoke about. There were so many incidents, where people would sell their own people into slavery. And that's history that doesn't really get talked about. It's not something that it's kind of frowned upon. But anyway, if you're looking through the eyes of a child at the world, and you're seeing all these. Sometimes we had talked about this at one point, about, you know, some people listen to music differently than other people listen to them. Some people can't hear past all the racket, which is understandable. I listen to songs and I listen to the lyrics because a good song will tell a story and it'll take you on a journey. It'll bring you up and bring you down and make you feel a certain way. But there's a lot of music out there that, you know, the music is so distorted, it keeps your mind so in a different type of, almost like a magical realm, where the lyrics coming by, you're enjoying the song and you're just loving the song, but if you actually sat down to take time to contemplate what was being said in that song, would you really agree with what you just basically, danced to, that you had fun with? The world is angry, and there's a lot of reasons why. A lot of people have a lot of, you know, validation, a lot of, you know, there's justification for being mad. Heck, I get myself mad once in a while. I can't stand when the scales of justice are off balance. I hate it. And I know there's so many people out there feel just like I do, that they just don't like when the scales of justice are off balance. I understand if somebody does something wrong, you know, and we as a society try to, put them back in place or whatever, put them back in their place, and if somebody does something really terrible, then sometimes it's taken to an extreme where they're actually, you know, basically executed. I don't like death for any reason. I just don't. I'm sorry. You know, it's not that, I understand you got to fight against evil, and yeah, I probably myself would do whatever it took to defend my family against the worst darkness, you know, and do what had to be done. But I wouldn't take no kind of enjoyment in it. You know, I've seen some of our leaders kind of wringing their hands and smiling about it all, you know. Yeah, we came, we saw, and he's dead, you know. You just took a life out. And I'm thinking, the ultimate enlightenment of humanity, to realize who and what we really are and what we're actually capable of doing, we got a long way to go before we get there. If you want to be truthful and honest to yourself, we've got a long way to go as a family to figure out that we are a family. We got a long way to go in order to understand how it is that we've done our Earth so wrong, our planet, the animals and each other so wrong for so long that we just are basically desensitized to the whole thing. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what the ultimate solution is besides spreading words of wisdom and peace and love to everybody that has the ears to hear. Now, I'll tell my story when I can, for those who want to listen. But I'm worried. I'm worried for the people. I'm worried for the future of humanity, because I see that there's a lot of angry going on. There's a lot of angry hearts. There's a lot of people that, you know, there's somebody one time told you about grudges, and they once told you about forgiveness, and a lot of people don't really ever take it that far. They don't know how to forgive, or they don't know how to let go of a grudge. But at some point in the game, you know, after all the bad that happens and it becomes perpetual, and I'll go ahead and mention this story one last time, because, well, probably not one last time, I keep mentioning it because it's just ingrained in my mind, is that there was a reporter talking to two little Palestinian girls, and they said, "Do you ever want peace with Israel?" And the little girls looked at the reporter and said, "No, we hate Israel. They killed our mommy and daddy. We never want peace with Israel." And you got to jump over on the other side of the fence and ask the two little Israeli girls the same question. Would you ever want peace with Palestine? But see, this is the thing, folks. It's a perpetual. It don't stop. It's kind of like that story about the Hatfields and McCoys. They fought and fought and fought and fought for so long that they didn't even know why they were fighting anymore. And at some time in the future, if mankind don't find some sort of middle ground to stand on, to at least do like the Knights of the Round Table, sit down at the table where, you know, the reason why the table was round to begin with was because everyone who sat at that table were equals. They were equally respected amongst each other, and the whole purpose of the round table was to, you know, bring about a better world, a change. That's why I'm so fascinated with the story of the round table. That's what we do here, and the table that we set at, which, because it's located out here in cyberspace, we can spread it out. We can put as many people around this table as we want. We would love to see the round table, the complete and utter size of what the natives call Turtle Island, what we call the world. You know, we want to see the round table go all the way around where everybody sits down and uses common sense and respect to make things right. You know, try to speak about an angry world and find the words that that would put the message across that my heart wants to deliver. You know, sometimes I don't even know where the words come out of my mouth. I don't even know where they're said. Sometimes I actually even feel like sometimes they're divinely inspired. Because the task before us is so big. It's so incredibly huge. The darkness that is tearing across the humanity's soul is so bad. And there's people that, you know, they have faith, but they believe that the cause is all hopeless. There's nothing we can do about it. And it just... I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe that until the entirety of all of humanity's journey plays out, that there's nothing we can do to make this thing better. The lyrics in our songs talk about death and destruction and you know, fallen angels and just so much. The song that I played from Black Sabbath talked about, you know, the world's full of kings and queens that blind your eyes and steal your dreams, you know. And the song down there that I played there about, you know, there's a man with a gun over there. What's the name of that song? I can't remember. It's Buffalo Stop Children. What's that sound? But if you think back about history, and I don't know how old each and every one of you out there listening is, but if you think back about all the songs that you've ever heard and your favorite songs and the journeys they took you on, and you know, the people when they sing, they're trying to deliver a message. Some of them just want to shout and tell everybody they're really tough. I'm Superman, I'm tough, or whatever. Some people want to talk about trials and tribulations of different cultures and things that are going on in the world. Some people just want to express their heart. They just want people to hear what they have to say, that they think the world should be better than what it is, but it's not, at least through their eyes. I got this firm faith and hope, peace and love, and that's what drives me, I guess. But even a soul like mine, even an old soul or a giant heart, still finds myself becoming battle weary when I see that it seems like we never get there. And so I got to keep on saying what I'm saying to try to reach out to the world, and hopefully some word that I say to you resonates in your heart and touches your heart, and that seed begins to grow and you just want to share it with everybody else and his brother. And once again, the good book of my book of faith said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Now I believe in peace. And I believe in love. That's why I do what it is that I do. I know that our world's angry, and I know that there's a good possibility you're angry yourself. If you're listening in, there's something in your life that's going on right now that just got you so angry. And anger is as close to blindness as you can get. Because if you can't find the solution to focus that anger towards something good in this world, you just become part of the darkness that's trying to engulf you anyway. because you take that anger down the wrong road. Anger can be a good tool if it's done for, you know, purpose. If you find I'm angry, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to do whatever I can, you know, to make people's life better and fight against the darkness. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to use the power of my spirit to do something right in this world, because I don't like darkness. But anger, it's something that is as bad as a grudge that will anchor you down, and it will drag you into the darkness with it. You know, careful what you listen to and the music that you really like or whatever. Careful the videos that you watch, and you know, there's the words have power. They have meaning. I watch some of the youth today and some of the music they listen to, and you know, there's some sort of excitement against the battle between good and evil. Like, I want to be a good guy, a knight in shining armor, and rush out there and fight the evil guy, you know? You know, but it reminds me of something that came across my mind one time about a child talking about how he wanted to grow up to be an army man. And coming from a long line of veterans, I know what an army man consists of. It's not that army men and women are bad people. It's that war, there's nothing glorious about war. It's a dirty job that those who have to do have to pay for the rest of their lives from the memories of terrible things that they've actually witnessed during this whole process. So, if the world is angry, the earth itself is angry, and we're angry, how do we find a common ground to get past it all? How do we bring humanity to the ultimate stage of enlightenment where we could actually become what we were probably truly meant to be? Something really amazing. Something beyond all comprehension. We can't get there on the road that we're on. Well, I'm supposed this road's going to end up at the same spot eventually at some time in the future. But I'm thinking, there's a smoother road for humanity, and we're not on it. If we were on it, then you wouldn't be seeing all these videos that talk about dying and killing and fires. And if you look in the doggone watch the videos in themselves, where you look around and it's a wasteland. There's fires and broken buildings and bodies laying everywhere. And I'm thinking, my God, what have we become? From child to this? When you were a child and you were born into this world and you looked up at your mom and your dad and everything around you just seemed to be so wonderful. And you didn't know hate, you didn't know discontent, you didn't know nothing other than you were there on this adventure and here you are. And as time went by, you know, the things that you saw and the things that you experienced, you become jaded against everything. Some folks had such a miserable life that they're so jaded against any potential possibility of there even being a God. And if there was a God, why would He allow this stuff to happen? But what they're not understanding is God never allowed any of this to happen. He said, don't do this and don't do that. That's not good for you or whatever. You know, just like your father would do the same exact thing. Tell you, don't tear up the house while I'm gone. It's a good reason for that. You won't have a house left. But nonetheless, we learn through our experiences, and some of us have, gathered wisdom because of the journeys and paths that we've been on. I'm not angry. Some things in this world make me angry. But I'm not going to let angry darken my soul. I'm not going to feed that darkness. I ask everybody out there, you know, are you angry at the world? Do you think the world's angry at us? Do you think we're all angry? We got to find some sort of peace. That word peace, I don't say it lightly. there's a meaning behind peace. There's a meaning behind love. And that's what I'm seeking to find. That's what I'm seeking to share with on the Knights of the Round Table. So, Barbara, are you still there? You got any thoughts on this situation?
Hey. Hi, everybody. Hi, Shaziz. Yeah, I'm here and listening to you, and lots of thoughts moving through my mind as you're talking. And when you said, are you angry at the world? You know, I'm not angry at the world. You know, I see that there is a lot of anger. And, you know, I'm looking at this thing about the music, and I find it interesting because I think, you know, let's look at it logically. Society has always had the music, had their music at different periods throughout our history. You know, and the music is a big influence, of course, you know. And we had, you know, like, I guess you might say it's psychological imprints of what the music does to us. It tells us how to feel and what to focus on. And, you know, we had different periods of time. We had starry-eyed type of music, complacency type of music, where people were doing waltzes and foxtrots. You know, you had the patriotic music, and, you know, then you had the 60s culture of love music, and now we've reached the raging, angry level of music that is being pushed out. You know, and I said, I can't listen to that, I call it the headbanger music, because that's the raging music, you know, sets me in a different frame, which is uncomfortable for me, and I'm realizing, you know, you said, got to listen to the lyrics, and said, well, I can't hear those lyrics because of the frenzy of the music, the excessive, frenetic level of energy that music creates. It's an influence, a psychological influence on people. For me, it feels so disconcerting that I don't listen to that music. I can't listen to that music. And as a matter of fact, it's been quite a while that I'm very selective about the music that I listen to because of that. And I think a lot of it has shifted for me the deeper my spirituality became more solid and more profound. The music I used to listen to had no meaning for me. So my selective, I guess it's a natural selection that started to unfold about what I was going to be listening to. And you could say that goes across the board with people, books, not reading books, you know, particular types of books and so on. Or if I did venture into certain books, I had a different perspective and was more able to, I guess I'd say, be aware or alert or discern what I was reading and how it may influence, okay? So in general, I think the music industry has a very focused purpose. Now, we also are aware, we know how mainstream media and Hollywood is a big influence on people, in all parts of their lives. There's many other things, of course, in our culture, and music specifically. So if we're looking at these different historic places of the trends in music, we look at, you know, the early part of this, of our history, of the history here of the United States, and what type of music was playing, or what we were following or listening to, what our relatives, our ancestors were listening to, and the different levels of our country moved along. Now today, I'm going to say this raging, angry level, I think is significant to look at from this perspective of what we are all becoming aware of. Not only influenced, but what the people are becoming aware of. And you know, it's interesting, the young people and some of the words to the songs in the period of you know, like the 60s, for instance, the songs of love, the songs of awakening and awareness, right? Where did all that go? I think the controllers had to get rid of that, and I think I remember reading something a while back about that whole era, about how the young people were all out there against the violence and the war, Vietnam War, and they were standing up against that. I mean, there was this huge wave that occurred. These kids were, all about the love and peace, love and peace.
That was a whole era.
What happened to that, right?
I actually think that comes in waves, Barbara. Have you
noticed
that?
Well, I think that's what we're talking about, but I do have to say there's a controlling factor that we have to look at.
Yeah.
Because every system that we are under, and it's the music industry, it's Hollywood, it's the political, education, and financial and religious systems that we are influenced by. So there is a controlling factor in regards to the type of things that we are, receiving. Music, Hollywood, and mainstream media news and so on. There's a controlling factor here. But then there's also something else. I guess I'd say what occurred during the 60s with the love, peace movement and all the music, like a wave. And I did read this, and I believe this, that the controllers or the influencers were losing ground because that culture of love and peace was scary to them. They didn't want that, so they had to eliminate that,
Yeah.
Now we reached a place of rage and anger, like you said, is the world angry? And I'm going to say, on some level, we have a right to be angry. But I think that people are being pushed to be angry at the wrong direction, and it's of course anger. Here's the way I look at this: angry. There's a healthy anger, okay, and then there's a level of rage.
Yeah.
Okay. Rage is, of course, out of control, and people can do great harm through raging. There is such a thing as healthy anger. But there is such a thing as complacency, where you just are just going along, like, so what? Or, okay, that's not happening in my backyard, so I don't care. Or, that happened to those people, but I don't know those people. So there's that complacency people suffer from, and that's a deliberate, as we know, a dumbed down, dumbing down the population, so they don't have any emotion, so they don't have any empathy. So they can't identify with another human being as a human being or as a family or a part of the greater family on earth. So I'm just looking at all the pieces here. There is such a thing as healthy anger. And in fact, I'd rather have people feeling some kind of anger rather than not feeling at all about what is happening to people, to humans, to children, to the earth, to the waters, to creatures, to everything. I'd rather have people getting angry about what's going on rather than being just dead.
I like
emotionally.
I like the way you explain that. I really do.
Go ahead.
There is a time for every season under the sun, is what I was told, and there's a time to get angry. But the anger that we're talking about is not, not the consuming, I'm going to kill you kind of, I hate the world and everything's terrible kind of anger. We're talking about, when those injustices show themselves, show their dark faces in the world and start to do terrible things to our brothers and sisters, and you get angry about it and you stop up and you put a stop to it, you stand in the way, or whatever. That's the type of angry that I think would be, justified in my mind anyway.
Well, that's what we're talking about. I call it healthy anger, Shazuz, because if you were a child that was violated and abused, you're pretty much numb. You are numbed down. You are emotionless. You are disconnected from feelings. You are dissociated. It's called disassociation. If you live your life dissociated from the violence and abuses that were done to you, you can't really feel very much at all. These are the people who are complacent, who can't feel other people's pain, because they can't even feel their own pain. So when I'm doing counseling with people, I help people to draw up and recognize healthy anger. They have a right to be angry at what happened to them. And that's as far as I go. It's not about a revenge, because that's not healthy. You know, it's not about any of that. Violence, revenge, and so on. Because they need to feel they have a right. What happened to them was wrong. It never should happen to a child. And they have a right, because they squelched down their normal anger, where you can't be angry at the adult who's violating you, because you'll get worse, right? You'll be really punished. So you squish all of your natural emotions, you know. It's like awareness of, wait, something is wrong, and I have a right to be angry, because I don't deserve that. No child deserves that. No people deserve to be violated, abused, or genocide, right?
Yeah.
So this is what we're talking about, the differences. But getting back to, you know, your question, you know, is the world. And yes, I agree. The people in the world are getting angrier and angrier, and I'd say a level of raging. But I feel some of it is awareness, and some of it is manipulated. And this is what we have to discern. Because I believe that the controllers want us to be raging at each other. They want us to hate each other. They want us to separate from each other, where they know if we are standing in unity and togetherness and awake, that they are not going to be allowed anymore to do what they have been doing. So,
yeah.
You know, I feel that this is an important topic, you know, but I think it's very, there are many tentacles to it. Yeah. It's very deep, many layers.
Yeah, it's kind of dangerous, but, you know, I think about an episode like 9/11. When 9/11 happened, it sent an anger and possibly even a rage out across America that, you know, some folks, they saw things that didn't seem to be right, and so the stories about, you know, 9/11 being an inside job came about. But the whole key, even if it was some guys that captured planes with box cutters and smashed it into it, they did it for a purpose. They did it to basically terrorize and anger the world. And even if it was a government conspiracy or like deep state type of conspiracy, the purpose behind that would be to get the Americans angry enough to go out and do their bidding. And this is where the discernment portion that I think you're talking about comes into play. You know, you got to ask yourself, why am I angry? You know, what purpose? Who's behind this? Why? What purpose do they have for getting me angry?
I think we know clearly now. I mean, I have to again repeat that when I watched the filming that day of the towers going down, I just knew that that was a setup. I just knew that this does not happen normally. And I'm not the only one. And now more and more people see this. And then we know that we were taken into war. We were taken into war with Saddam Hussein, who basically wasn't the one who had anything to do with supposedly those that were part of this. There was a collusion. Now, you have to know that there was that collusion with some of the deep state or the controllers, along with certain of the Saudi people, okay, the ones who came with the box cutters, or whatever you want to do, say, whatever they were, box cutters or finger, you know, clippers. There was a collusion, and this is a real rough thing for people to identify, that we know that the Bushes were really very, very deeply connected to, you know, to bin Laden. We know that now, okay? But bin Laden, you know, was another story, but Saddam Hussein, the reason we wound up going there was he was blamed, and plus the lie about weapons of mass destruction. So you have a country riled. I mean, this was pretty This was pretty stunning because you have all those deaths of innocent people, but I have to say, nobody, I don't know if anybody's looked into this or not, but I just read something on the Titanic and the new information on who was on that Titanic and why the Titanic was actually sunk. And it wasn't an iceberg. there was a fire actually set inside in there and so on. But that's a whole other story, but I just want to say that the people, certain people were on that Titanic that needed to be removed by certain other people. This is complex, and this is pretty amazing when you start looking at this and going down those rabbit holes, you know, and there's documents to prove this stuff. I'm not talking out of my hat. You have to do the research.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I'm saying something that seems like a wackadoodle nutcase to you, do your research. Don't just jump to that conclusion, because that's part of the imprint, that somebody's talking about wackadoodle stuff that you have a hard time accepting as real. Do the research. Just don't jump into that, you know, that finger-pointing, yeah, there's another wackadoodle conspiracy nutcase. So, because I've been doing research for many years, and what it is about me that when I'm looking at that film of the towers going down, and my instincts, the messenger that I am connected with says, this is not real, this is a setup. And when I get the message, the messenger says to me, there are no weapons of mass destruction, that is a lie. That's who I am. Okay, that's just my personal gift the Creator gave to me. It's hard when you have these gifts and you say to people, there are no weapons of mass destruction, and they start screaming at you, saying, no, our government, they said, the president said this. So it's, you're in a difficult position when you have these gifts that Creator gave to you, you know, and you want to share this with people because it's really key. So you have to wait. You sort of have to have patience, and then after a time, well, then it all comes out. Guess what? There were no weapons of mass destruction. So what I'm saying is how influenced we are. We're influenced across the board, and music is one of those influences that we started off talking here with. And about the world being angry, I think is because, in a way, I said it's a good thing. But we have to direct that anger in a healthy way at those who are really evil and who have been perpetrating harms throughout our history. So in a way, I'm glad that people are feeling something. That's good. Now they have to get, you know, clear about who they really need to direct that anger at, and what does the anger, what is it really going to do? How are we going to actually create change? Because now people are, you know, feeling that energy of anger, righteous anger. We'll call it righteous anger. Because there's such a thing as the, you know, anger that I say is not healthy or balanced, that isn't righteous, if you want to say. You know.
Well,
so that's where I am, and it's, this is not such a simple black and white situation here.
No.
You know?
There, that day, I remember the 9/11 event, you know, perfectly, because that day I was asleep on the couch and the phone rang. And as my sister-in-law, she said, are you watching TV? And I said, no. She said, you need to turn it on. And so I turned the TV on, and there was news on every single channel. And I turned it on just in time for them to show a video of an airplane hitting the side of the World Trade Center. And my heart just sunk. I mean, it just, I can't explain it other than, you know, when you see something that you know is going to cause a ripple of quite literally biblical proportions. Because it did. It changed the world the moment that happened. And for whatever reason, whoever did what they did on that day, they did it for a purpose to basically shake the foundations of mankind to its very core and get people motivated to an agenda.
Now, that's right.
My very first feeling about that whole deal was, like I said, my heart sunk. A huge deal of sorrow, you know, and the first words that came out of my mouth, I says, oh my God, we're at war.
Yeah. Well, I did. I knew that too. And speaking about, you know, when something happens and that feeling that comes over you, several days, maybe a week before, before Donald Trump was elected president, I got a message in the middle of the night from that messenger that I'm telling you that is connected with me, and I say it's great spirit, that he was going to become our president, and I felt like a wave of terror and sickness come over me because of what was coming. And we are in that moment, and we're not fully in the moment. We're on our way to what is coming, but things are unfolding in regards to our government, our system, our constitution. And of course, Bush started this. The Bush minions started this. Cheney, one of the darkest people, I feel. They all started this to take down our constitutional rights, you know, the weapons of mass destruction, the war on terrorism, the spying on citizens. All of this was deliberate. And that was not just the beginning. This has been a plan put in place that started so long ago that it will, here's, I'm going to use our favorite term, blow your mind.
Yeah.
So the whole thing with Trump, and the people who love Trump and the manipulation of his words of getting people to hate and be separated and to have faith in him and what he's going to do and how he's going to make everything better and make America great again. And, you know, as a person of Indian heritage, I know that America was not great for many. You know, I know what this country was founded on was what manifest destiny, which is colonization. And when you have colonization, you have some form of genocide. Our country was formed on genocide and slavery, you know, and hate and so on and separation. You have good people who are desperate to come to a place where they can live free and have religious freedom, and then you have like acting like there was nobody living here, you know, and they were basically told that these weren't people, these weren't humans here. That was part of the ploy. You know, they're not Christian, therefore they're inhuman, they're devil worshippers, and so on and so forth. I mean, all of this is what our country's founded on. And, you know, you had some of the people in our government in the beginning of our government who were slave owners. I mean, this is what our country's founded on. So for many, this country was not great. But when you have a person such as Donald Trump, who some people are calling God, the God or the King, this is scary. Nobody should be given that title, first of all. No one should be worshipped false idols, right, on that level. And frankly, the Republicans and the Dems, they're all across the board the same. They flip-flop back and forth. They're all in it for themselves. The whole government system has been really set up to be corrupt. We're seeing all these things, and I think this is part of the anger and rage of the rising movement of anger, this awakening that because the curtain is being lifted. Okay, and across the board we see so many levels of vile behaviors and corruption and lies and manipulation of the people, and the people are in the middle of this. We have the elite on the top. We have the disparity between the levels of wealth. We have the poor people. You know, you have Hispanics and people of color living in cities now. They're doing studies. They're the ones who are suffering with pollution the most because of where they're living. That they're breathing problems, the asthma problems, the food, the water, the lead poison. I mean, this is your common people, yeah. Our neighbors, our families, our friends. And then you have the elite who are far removed from these assaults. They're sheltered. They're far removed. They're elite. All the politicians have a lot of money. Let's face it. Do they live in your neighborhood in the barrio there? Do they live on the hood? No. You know, no, they do not. And so the sick feeling that I got, I wasn't fully understanding why, but now I'm getting more and more clear why.
Well, you know,
because wait, let me finish.
Okay.
Because we are being led into a place that is more terrifying, really, as a country, as a people, and as a nation, and the whole world is being led into this corral. And Trump is a part of that, and Obama was a part of that, and Clinton was a part of that, and the Bushes were a part of that. And then you have other countries where they have the dirty dealers. The same thing, you know, in this, I'm going to go on here. This whole thing about the immigration, the ban on Muslims and so on, you know, at first I was feeling that this isn't right. We're a free country. We're a country of immigrants. We're people, loving, caring people. And these are families, women and children, and they showed us a lot of that. But then they didn't. What they didn't show us was the young men who basically are Islamic extremists who are being poured into this country, into Europe, especially Europe. Now you look at what's going on in Europe and in Switzerland. They're having riots in the street on a daily basis, rapes and violence, and the people are going crazy there. They're in a war zone. So I kind of am now, I've shifted my feelings about our immigration, about the open door policy, and I know they do vetting and so on and so forth, but there's something very wrong here. Now, I'm even going to go further with this because prophecy speaks about one world government, one world religion. And so I was looking at this link that was talking about the Islamization of America. And it was pretty stunning to me. It really shifted my perspective on what is going on here that we don't know because mainstream media does not have this information because now we have a new thing called politically incorrect. If you say anything against, you know, the Muslims, the Mexicans, the Spanish, the Nicaraguans, the Israel, you are politically incorrect. Oh, and I'm going to add the LGBT, I don't even, can't even say that, the gay, trans community. If you say anything about this, you are politically incorrect. This is huge,
okay.
Because we can't even have a conversation and speak our truth and be concerned about what is going on without being attacked, right?
Yeah, well, you'd mentioned a second ago about prophecy, and that's where I was about, sorry to interrupt you, but that was where...
That's all right.
That's where I was about to say that the book that I subscribe to on my spiritual journey talks about man coming on the scene promising peace and basically bringing just the complete opposite. So am I saying Trump's the Antichrist? No, I don't know. But I'm just saying that those are the things that somebody in the past had warned of, that someday that would try to bring about a one world government. And
yes.
You know, so I'm saying you got to be aware and discerning all at all times. You know, I don't know at this point in the game what to think of Trump. I understand that there's a massive change because he is in there and he is saying what the people want to hear, so that kind of concerns me.
Well, he's made the people rage.
Yeah. Well,
he's made the people not experience healthy anger, but he's made the people rage. And I'm going to say the people here in the United States have a right to be angry at what's been done to them. But he's using psychological warfare because he has all the... This is a manipulation. Now, I'm not a Trump man. So I'm not siding with him. He has said things that were right on the money about our government, about the corrupt government. He has said things in his speeches and his talks during when he was running, you know, on the format for running, he had said things that now I see, I'm like, wow, he knew stuff. It's been 9 years or more that Trump was planning. Okay, now it's not just him. There's somebody, the puppet, okay, the puppet master. You have to remember it's not Trump. It's the puppet masters, okay, that picked Trump for a reason and have been, what do they say, garnering him or bringing him into this position where he will become the president, because he came out of, it seemed like, nowhere. So there's this plan, and it's a bigger plan than we can see clearly, and that's why people have to do the research. So this is not, Trump is a puppet, and Trump is really, he has said things that he was exactly right about.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
Okay, now you look at that, and but also now you look at cleaning out the swamp. Well, everybody thought it was one thing, like the lobbyists. They're going to clean out the lobbyists in the, in, you know, that really the corporate lobbyists that run our country. But he didn't do that, did he? He brought in a lot of other corporate people. But now he's cleaning out the swamp, the real swamp, okay? And everybody's saying, well, Comey doesn't like it. He's saying it's a dud and it's assault and attack upon the FBI, which we need. But we know now that the FBI and the CIA, that there are good people there, but there are also a corrupt faction, and there's the deep state. So this is so complex. It's like a very bad movie. Well, but
there's
speaking about movies, we've seen movies have told us everything, and I just want to continue a little bit here, hold your thought, with Trump. Okay, it's not just Trump, as I said, and what's coming out now in the FISA documents and the memo, people are being told by the mainstream media that it's false, it's a lie, it's no big deal, it means nothing. But you really have to see what's going to be happening, because there are over 1,700 sealed indictments. There is the, there will be the, what do we call it, this law where if you are deemed a terrorist to your country, you can just be put away. You're not going to go on trial on that mainstream media where the courts are going to be open, where people are going to see it. We have sealed indictments. We have various other things that are going on that a lot of people aren't privy to, because mainstream media is part of the cabal. Hello? But you have to get into alternative information, which a lot of people are, like us, right? People are more and more listening to alternative radio and insider reviews, and if you want to call them conspiracy nutcases, you can. So I'm just saying there's something far greater going on here, Shaziz, that people are not aware of, and Trump is playing a very important role. Now, as far as Antichrist, I think he's a false prophet. I don't think he is the Antichrist, but, you know, to me, Antichrist is anyone that is against Great Spirit or Creator God's creation. Now, Trump is putting out, is changing the laws, environmental protection laws, left and right, to take down any protections that were put in place, you know, the few that were put in place or allowed. Now they're going out across the board. You know, that's very worrisome to me. He's all for the oil. He's a corporate man. He's a, you know, wealthy. He's a businessman. He lives in a castle. You know,
yeah.
he's one of the elite who live on top of the mountain in the castle, and we're the serfs. And guess what? That was in the old days. Only the clothes have changed. We still are under the rule of the kings and the queens. Now I'm going to stop right there.
Well, the thing that I was thinking about was that our government or the deep state or whatever the puppet masters are behind the scenes, they probably by this time, before Trump ever got elected, started realizing that the people were quite literally restless. They didn't trust their government or anything, and so to send a champion out there is what I'm thinking, you know, to come out there and, you know, throw a few people under the bus and make it look good, you know.
That's right.
That's right. That's the
you
concern.
Got it. That's right. That's the psychological warfare that the elite or the cabal or whomever, deep state, whatever it is, they're very adept at the psychological warfare. They felt the shift of the people, and that was right that the people were saying, hey, wait a second. That was right. So then they put in the same thing with Obama. They threw Obama in there. Oh, now everything's going to be, you know, great now. Everything, but it was not. As a matter of fact, things got worse, you know, with this drone attacks on citizens and people and innocent people and on and on and on. Just look at the stuff that Obama did, you know. So they throw you a dog biscuit, right? And everybody goes, oh, we're okay now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, but we are not okay. And so now they saw that happening. People were saying, hey, wait a second, you know? So now, okay, now here's another dog biscuit. Here's another little candy. And now America's going to be great again. But those words, to some people, mean, and I'm going to say it because I'm not saying this completely, but I'm going to say it. People are saying make America white again, because it's been forgotten what our country's founded on, which is genocide of Indian people and slavery, and of course of genocide of the slaves and women. So women came here with no rights at all. We know that. Do your research. Women in Europe, and they all came here. They couldn't get an education. They were not allowed an education. They could not vote. They couldn't own property. They were virtually slaves themselves, you know, slaves in a nice dress. So then you come here to Paradise, Turtle Island, and you see a system, a clan mother's matrilineal system here that was functioning and working for thousands of years, the way Creator set it up here as well as all over the world, but it was already taken out across the waters. That was done. The people lost their way. Because the matrilineal systems, the ones who revered and recognized the great sacred mother, and the goddess was called the goddess then. Here we call her the great sacred mother. They were duped into basically following the trend of, you know, the cabal, the elite, the controllers. So you have people coming here who are desperate for a place to be, come upon a people here who are living in harmony and balance. And I'm going to say they did have their skirmishes, but they weren't set up for genocide. And it wasn't in their mind. That just was not, it didn't exist, you know. So you have a matrilineal, a clan mother system here that was about harmony and balance between male and female, and respect for women, respect for men. This was the balance, okay? Didn't mean that women were above men. That's not what this is about. This is about, there's something about the grandmothers or the clan mothers that had certain wisdom and ability to determine, for instance, whether to go to war or not. We could get into the conversation about what's the difference between the male and the female, as far as, you know, specific things. Why did Creator give the gift of life to women? You know, why were women healers? Why were women herbalists? Why were women midwives? Why were women the food gatherers and so on, of herbal medicines? And why did Creator set this up? Today, the Sierra Nevada de Santa Marta in Colombia, South America, there's a culture there called the Kogi, for over 500 years maintained their system where there is that harmony and balance between the male and the female, and the mother, the sacred mother, is revered, and they say that the mother is the creator, and they're not the only ones of ancient cultures who say that. In my sense, my feeling is that because there is in creation sacred feminine and sacred masculine in all aspects of our creation, as well as in the human, we have an aspect of male and female within us, which has been deliberately set to be askew and out of balance. Our men are suffering with their feminine side, and women are suffering the same. And we have been pitted against each other, whereas Creator set it up that we would live in harmony and balance with each other. So you have the clan mother system here. When the Europeans came here, the government had to get rid of the clan mother system quickly because their women had no rights. So they had to set this up and continue that assault upon the sacred feminine. All right? So it still remains today. You have still women struggling to be respected and seen as valuable. So we're dealing with this. We have this new wave of the curtain drawn back on the pedophilia, on the of the violence, assault, and abuses, and so on upon women with the Me Too movement, with This is an anger and a rage that is getting out of hand, again, to keep us separate from each other, pitted against each other. I mean, this is very in-depth. I know I'm getting off track a little bit, but
no,
I don't think so.
You're right there on it. I mean, that's what I was saying. This is probably going to be one of the hardest subjects to get the point across, but, you know, that's why I put the question mark on the deal, on the angry world, because you can't watch music anymore. You can't listen to and watch music videos or TV anymore, and all it is, seems to be is glorifying violence and pitting each other against each other, trials and tribulations. You know, all the favorite shows that you watch that, you know, people are going out and they're fighting against the bad guys and they finally overcome.
Well, this is, don't you think, see, this, I'm saying that this is deliberate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm saying that there is a manipulation here that is moving the people, controlling the people, psychologically controlling the people, okay, to be pitted against each other, to be confused, to be spinning. to not be awake to the real issues.
That's why I thought the series Jericho was so important for people to watch, because of the way that people were manipulated into quite literally going into a full-blown civil war amongst each other.
You know what, one of the most telling pieces to me, well, there were many, but this particular one in that movie Jericho, remember when they saw that the nuclear bombs were going off a little distance away and everybody started running to their cellars and packing up stuff, that one family especially?
Yeah.
the mother. Okay. The mother was upstairs in the bedroom making beds, perfect corners and tight sheets and the military mind of making a bed.
Huh.
And her husband was searching all over for her because he had the daughter, he had everybody down in the basement and all the supplies were going down there, and where's his wife? She's upstairs in denial.
Making
complete denial and making beds.
Yeah.
And when he comes into the room and he says, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he's trying to grab her to get her into the basement because a nuclear bomb has just gone off. She starts screaming and going hysterical like a crazy woman. That's the state of people in denial. They don't want to know. Hello, we're in serious trouble, so let's just keep making the bed. And if you point to me or pull me away from this thing that I know is the most important thing, making the bed and ignoring and denying, I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, huh. Oh boy.
A lot of people's reaction to so many different events really makes no sense, other than the fact is, like you said, they don't want to know. People don't want to know the shape of the world. You know, it's kind of like that out of sight, out of mind thing. I talk about it all the time. You know, the people starving in the world, you know, I've even found myself to some extent wanting to change the channel because I just didn't want to see it no more. I'm 52 years old and I've been seeing it all my life, and I'm thinking, you know, it tears me up every time I see these.
All right. You know what, Shaziz, I hear you, but I'm going to go here. All right, you have people in this country who believe in our government. You have people who believe in this country. You have people who are duped and to believe in the goodness of this country and the goodness of our government. You have our generations before us. You know, my father was in World War II, it affects people when they come back. You know, he suffered greatly.
Yeah.
You have people who gave their lives for a country that now we're saying is dishing out lies and manipulation and corruption to go to war for corporations, using us as serfs, as slaves. You have this reality, but we were told and brainwashed that America, this is America, the greatest country in the world, the good guys. So now you have people believing in this, and you're going to say, I'm sorry, but you've been told a lie. And not only that, but you have to wake up now. you have to not only wake up, you have to actually do something. But the other thing they've been told is, well, you're helpless, and we're in control, and we're going to take care of you. You know, you're helpless, and forget about it. You know, we're the ones that will take care of everything. We have all the answers, and we know what to do. The authorities are speaking. So now you have the common people here who have trusted and believed and going about their lives, you know, making their beds every day, eggs and bacon and coffee and the cereal on the table and the dog in the under the table and the kitty on the counter. And, you know, we're going to school and we're going to get married and, you know, we're celebrating 4th of July and we're patriots. You have all this. Okay. And the people who are not aware or not knowledgeable at all of our true history about what really happened in this country, because they've been told that in school, you know, given the false history. So now suddenly you have people saying that that's all a lie. How does one deal with this? It's huge. And you have to think about your mother and your father and your great parents. And I think about my dad going to war and what he believed. He was a Republican. You know, what he believed about this country and about my great people who came here from off the Turtle Island, and my family who lived here on Turtle Island, and that family who lived a dream.
Yeah, that's the thing. I believe
it. You know, it's huge.
I believe everybody was sold a dream, and the dream itself, the dream of, the great melting pot and bringing everybody together, that's not a bad thing. But the concept of how it was, it's kind of like Christianity. You know, you can't really speak about being a Christian in today's world, because there's people would actually want to kill you for being Christian. But nonetheless, I think all the goodness of just about whatever culture you want to pick out of the hat has been hijacked. The dream itself, you know, maybe the
dream... Well, there was the dream, the American dream was a lie, and it's died a long time ago. I came to that conclusion a while back, and that was really broke my heart. But I have to be realistic, you know. I can't be wallowing around in all that stuff. I got to stand up and say, okay, where do I go from here, and what are we going to do now, you know? But I have to say the killing of Christians is a big thing now, again. Why is that? Okay, the taking down, it's not about organized religion. It's about your belief in a God, a creator, a great spirit, okay? I say great spirit or Wakan Tonka. It's about a belief in something far greater and intelligent and beautiful and sacred. That's what this is about. This is a battle of religions, okay, about my God against your God and so on. It's not about the church. I don't believe at all. I disagree with the church, because I disagree with organized religion, because I grew up in organized religion, and I found my way to the Red Road, the Chunkaluta, which is to me the true way, where you are in relationship with your creator. It's you, heart to heart with your creator. Nobody stands in front of you and says, you have to pray this way. You have to use my words. My way is right. And you can only get to Creator God through me. That is not the way Creator God set this up. But but people's lives have been taken to be ruled and owned. Their faith, their sovereignty as a human being with an embodied spirit within them, a sacred being, has been taken and usurped. And this is what this is about.
Yeah. I'm seeing that, all these folks, my grandfather, he was in World War II, and I saw the scars from the feet all the way up to the back of his neck, and, you know, I knew what he had been through, but he was one of the ones, I guess you could say, that would have believed the lie of, what we were fighting
for.
They all
did. And they all did. Our people did, and I can understand why.
And so,
right? I mean, yeah, you have generations of brainwashing going on here, but there was manipulators and controllers behind all that. Where are we going to take the people? What do we need for ourselves, and how are we going to get them there?
Yeah.
We need not only their alliance, but we need them pitted against each other on all levels.
Yeah.
So we can have control.
Well, I'm saying for that I can't fault the veterans of this world for believing.
No.
It. But
absolutely not.
What I'm trying to say is because this world is angry the way it is now, and it should. You have every right in the world after everything that humanity has been through to be angry.
But I'm going to talk about sorrow. To me, there's a sorrow. The world, the mother is in sorrow. You know, okay, people say the mother's angry and she's going to shake off the fleas, we call it, right? But I also want to say that there's a great sorrow throughout the whole world about what has happened to humans of all colors. And there is something, someone, some it on top of it who's doing all this, and I've come to conclude that that is Lucifer, that that is a dark, that you can call Lucifer, you can say devil, you can say Satan, you can say something. I don't care what word you use. We use these words because that's about what we have. But it is an energy. It is a darkest, lowest, evil energy. And I've seen it throughout the whole world from the beginning of humanity, to destroy humanness, to destroy sacredness, to destroy and harm, do harm to this creation that was a blessing and a gift to human beings. We can go back further and say, well, who would do that? Well, there's the fallen angel Lucifer, who was up there, whatever, in the ethers. Maybe this is ET stuff. Maybe Lucifer, all the fallen angels were ETs who came and brought technology here and mated with the daughters of the earth and created a giant culture. And we know the giants exist. You see how complex this gets?
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
I sound like I'm talking about a fairy tale here.
It's definitely mind-blowing. You know, but I just, really, like I said, it's really hard to pick the right words to say, you know. There's Paul Harvey back in 1965 was talking about things, and man, I'll tell you what, his words were prophetic, because what we heard back then is what we're actually seeing play out now. And he said, you know, if I were the devil, this is what I would do, you know. Now, whether you believe in the devil or you don't believe in the devil, you can't argue with the fact that what the man said, you're seeing dirtier movies now. You're seeing metal detectors at school doors, and you're seeing everything that he said.
Well, and now you're going to see the chip. You know, I predicted this over 15 years ago. I was sitting in a room full of people, and I got the message from the messenger that said someday everybody's going to have to be chipped, and now here we are, people are getting chipped, and there's going to be more and more of that. And, you know, I want to say about, you know, what Paul Harvey said and so on, but, you know, also our elders have said many of the prophecies that are coming true. He was a prophet, Paul Harvey, but he was, you know, one of the later prophets, but the elders have said these, what's coming down the pike, and that's all unfolding too. But we also have something else. We have other prophecies that are in the positive vein. And I've always said prophecy is not written in stone. Prophecy is a warning. Prophecy is to help us to think and to determine where do we want to go, which pathway do we want to take. Because there's always two pathways. We always come upon in our life, our personal life, and then a collective life of two pathways. And here we are again at this juncture of two pathways, and we are dealing with a dark. We are dealing with an evil. It is in some men that they have sold, and women, they have sold their soul to the devil, and we call that sold their soul to the devil because they are doing evil that is beyond our comprehension, and the only words we have to describe that is they sold their soul to the devil. You know, so there are them that therefore, without the grace of God, go I could be that person. So that's why I say we are all, you know, metakwe oyasin means we are all related, meaning that they are our brothers and sisters, and they've been caught. But therefore, the grace of God, go I. I've been, you know, challenged and tempted and dragged around by that dark, and it strengthens you, and some it can't. Some just fall. Some fall, and greed is the darkest energy. And I want to add, why is it recently in the last 2 years that the Pope has called for more exorcists to be trained?
Well, that's a good question.
I'm just asking that question. Think on that. Why is that? Well, you know, of course the church believes in, you know, the Lucifer entity and so on, and so now you have people needing exorcisms more and more and more. Something is afoot here. Something's going on.
Well, you know, it really don't matter whether the average Joe believes in the battle between good and evil, because the fact is those who are the rulers of the world do. You know?
And exactly.
So with that said, that's why you get to see all these videos with anger and frustration, because, you know, if you're just an artist that's just coming on a scene and you want to make a band and you write about things in the world and they end up being like this one, just go read the video, lyrics of this song in the video, and go back in time and listen to all the music back in the time and actually try to figure out what they were talking about. There was a song that I heard a long time ago that I liked, and just never really understood the lyrics until here recently. I'm driving down the road, and the guy's talking about, "Can you guess my name?" through the whole doggone song. And it turns out that his name was Lucifer. And I'm like, wow, I've been liking this song all the time, and I just never even realized that, you know, I'm liking this song. The guy's singing about he's the devil and this kind of stuff, and as a Christian, boy, that ain't jiving too well. So, you know, this is what I'm saying, and we mentioned this earlier about some of the ways that the heavy headbanging music plays out, that you're more into what the tune is saying and not discerning what the actual message or the story of it is.
Well, let's talk about the frequency.
I've been a total metalhead, let's say. LCO, honey.
Hey.
I just want to let you know that myself, I've been listening to metal since 1970, I think. You listen to like Black Sabbath, which I was a major fan of, and listen to War Pigs, and it's telling you exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
You have Metallica, Master of Puppets. You have right now Metallica. They just come out with the new one, Hardwired to Self-Destruct, and if you ever listen to that, that's heavy lyrics, but yeah.
I want to say, you know, Two Dog, I know you like that metal stuff, the heavy metal stuff, and I want to say that I was going to talk about the frequencies and energies of the particular music, not the words, because the words, they are telling us what is really going on, but the rage behind it is concerning to me, because the rage is a frequency that affects certain people to actually takes them over. And the frequencies and energies are manipulations. And when you have the music, you have videos, you have mainstream media, you have the movies, you have all this stuff inciting people into behaviors that are unhealthy and damaging and harmful, that's what I'm talking about.
So with that said, would you say that there are some musics that some people would classify as righteous rage, which would actually be guiding you into being part of the darkness, if you understand what I'm trying to say?
I'm saying that.
As far as that, you got to look at, let's look at the Beatles back in, late 1969, and you got the Beatles and Helter Skelter, which actually had Charlie.
Yep.
Charlie got into that. And go, oh my God, he's talking about Revelation.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you have a lot of hidden messages, but also the influence of people who are out of balance, or people who have a reason to be angry, but then they are shifted into raging or hate, violence. This is part of that cabal manipulation. Movies do the same thing. News does the same thing. This is an influence that we have to be very careful of, you know.
You know, in the 70s, you had Neil Young that put out a song called Four Dead in Ohio. And that's when the National Guard killed these
psychologists.
But now you got one dead in Virginia. The guys wrote a song about it. And they marched on Virginia for Donald Trump as far as the Ku Klux Klan, the neo-Nazis, the same.
Yep. I think we have to be wise and we have to be aware of the energies and frequencies of things, because these people know about these things. It's ancient wisdom. They know how to manipulate. They know the psychological warfare. They know how to use these manipulations to anger and enrage people and get them pitted against each other or do harm to others or even to themselves.
Well, let's just say that all the conspiracies are right about the secret societies and that they go by some sort of code that basically says that this big game that we're playing with humanity, we have to tell them what we're going to do to them ahead of time in order so they have a fair warning, if you understand what I'm trying to say here. If you go
I'm gonna say that I've looked at that too. Patty and I have talked about that, and I've concluded, I think we both have concluded, that it's about to test the people to see how awake they are, how aware they are, what is their reaction to this. Are they awakening more that we better be more concerned? You know, they are concerned about those that are awakening. They are concerned about those that are coming into unity and speaking the truth, because they can't allow that. So they're ramping up the dark stuff here on us, and we see that every day.
Well, and there's a two-edged sword there, because they use things like 9/11 and different incidents, school shootings and stuff like that to basically get everybody angry and want to be able to further whatever agenda that they had set forth. So you got to be real careful about what you watch and what you hear these days, and make sure that you know for a fact that this is vetted information, that it's the truth, before you just go, you know, off the handle, so to speak, because the manipulation of humanity is so twisted and deep. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. I mean, in the series Jericho, one of the things that really hit me the hardest about the deal was something that you mentioned earlier, Barbara, about history and the truth of the history, was that there were actual school teachers in this series, and when they were reading these books told a different history than what they had been teaching all along. And so, you know, to the victor writes the story is what they say. And so that was one of the things that really seriously concerned me, because of if you take the whole Jericho series in concept of how they manipulated the people into Civil War, and then their final agenda to bring about their one government, and the changing of the history, it's exactly what all the doggone conspiracy theories guys have been trying to warn people about for years. You see what I'm saying? Did I lose you guys?
No, I'm here if you can hear me.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, it's the same thing with, say, you know, the history of the Civil War, okay? A lot of people and in a lot of history books have said that it started over slavery, okay? That's what the Civil War started over, when actually it was the North was the Washington wasn't trading with the South, right? So it started over trade issues.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know all the stories about, like, the Buffalo Soldiers and stuff like that. There were so many different, and there were even natives that were on both sides of the fence there. There was so much going on back then, so much history that kind of just got overlooked.
Now, you know, if you go with 9/11, I watched that. Yeah, I agree with you, Shaziz. You know, my heart sunk when I saw that and I saw the planes hit. Now, what I got out of that, they said, well, the Saudis took the planes and hit the towers. Then all of a sudden, Bush decides to go fight a country his daddy bought. Okay?
Yeah.
So if it was them, what are you doing over there? Well, here's what we decided on that issue, okay, you know, is that son wanted to be better than what his daddy was and finish what his daddy started so he could look better than his father.
You're right.
Well,
you're right on that. That piece, I'd forgotten about that piece. But also you have Holly Burton, Cheney's company, was it Cheney's company? Who made a lot of money there because
yeah.
he got the first bids to basically fix the country again, right? To build the infrastructure. See, this is the dirty dealings that have been going on, Two Dog, right? I mean,
yeah.
This goes back in history, even with World War II, you know?
That's
and the Vietnam War, right?
Yeah, the Vietnam War, there's a lot of people that, you know, roam around here, okay? They roam around here, and they're actually telling me. I get to sometimes where I laugh so hard I can't stand myself. That President Trump is going to end up being the best president since Richard Nixon.
Yeah, people do believe that, and that's kind of sad. I'm very concerned about this, you know, this downright, outright, full-blown support of Trump, and I see very clearly that he's just a puppet,
yeah.
And that, in fact, we are being led into, you know, a one-world order dictatorship type of thing, and also one-world religion, which could very well be Islam, if you read some of the Islamization of America and what's going on with, you know, how these people... And I'm not saying... Huh?
I'm gonna say this real quick. Me and my wife, when he first got elected, he was signing a bill. I remember he had all this, you know, a lot of the officials around him. You actually had his daughter, which is just little, I think 3-4 year old. Okay, and the 4-year-old going to be picked up. So Trump's daughter reached down and picked the poor baby up, and my wife was listening to it at the time too, so you had two people that actually heard it. And when she picked the baby up, you could hear the baby, and the first thing the baby said was, Donald Trump is God, Donald Trump is Jesus, and nobody said anything.
Right. Well, and so to further that, I read and looking at the evangelical sites because I'm curious because I saw a little blurb about one evangelist who said that he had a vision during the campaign that Donald Trump was God's chaos candidate, and they were all excited, and they believe, the evangelicals believe, that Trump is doing God's work, he is chosen by God, and that he will bring on the rapture, because they're all waiting for the rapture. They want the end to come so that they can all be raptured up, they believe, and then that means that the Armageddon will come, the Antichrist will come, all hell will break loose, everything will be pretty much destroyed, but they themselves will be raptured because the return of the Messiah. So these people are scary people to me. If
yeah.
they want the rapture to come, do you realize the Armageddon, what that will mean? Now, some big event has to happen that's going to be huge. It's going to be like the Bible says and prophecies say, and maybe Shaziz can talk more about this, about what those times will look like, that there will be such awful things, and I don't even know the words, paraphrasing here, awful things that will bring people to their knees, the devastation that will happen, and then the Savior will come, but it will be the Antichrist who will promise and make miracles, and people will bow down to this Antichrist, believing that he is the Messiah.
Well, they talk
right?
about wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence and a kind of world that we just really don't want to live in. And, you know, if you go watch that video series, Jericho, I don't think that's as bad as it could get, but it was bad enough.
Well, those I think people, in the end of Jericho basically is a lead in to the possible real bad, because they're talking the revolution, the second revolutionary war between the states here in the in this country.
Yeah, and so my warning to the world, I guess, it would say if I was to think about how everything's playing out so far, is to be really careful, be really seriously discerning. We are in a spiritual battle, you know, and even if you're a non-believer, you just can't. I don't see
how. Well, I want to say about Jericho, because I just got a message from out there that people are saying, well, why are you so up on this movie? It's a movie. It's only a movie. But we've come to realize that the part of the controllers put out these certain movies with information, and things actually happen in real time.
Well, what? Okay, listen to further what you just pointed out. Everybody go back and look at the date that doggone series came out. All right, look at the date and then match it with what they're talking about on the deal. In the movie, they said that North Korea was the one that nuked America.
North Korea and Iran.
Yeah, North Korea and Iran, they nuked America, and so we're going to war against them, right? Well,
but that was a lie.
Yeah, but in the meantime, the infrastructure falling down started off a domino effect that splintered the entire United States off into like 10 separate countries, you know, and they're all fighting amongst each other. They had like 10 presidents going on, you know, and they were all fighting for power.
Well, Texas was a separate, you know, annexed itself from the United States, and don't we have waves of information, or I guess you could say, what do they call it, things signifying the separation, and like California wants to secede from the United States, right? And Texas is like its own country to begin with anyway.
Well, If you actually go back and you look at the video, what was being said in the movie, the things that went on in the movie, you know, I know movies are just movies according to most folks, but, you know, there's something going on here, because, you know, unless they had like a vision of the future, you know, this little guy named Kim Jong-un with a crazy haircut running around talking about he's going to nuke everybody every 5 minutes, you know, and shooting off these rockets all the time. You know, I personally don't think Korea could get a rocket, you know, halfway across the water, let alone on the shores. But nonetheless, you know, he's still running around saying he's going to do that. And, you know,
well, it was 2006 that the movie was put out, and Iran didn't even have a nuclear deal. Obama put that in.
Yeah, so. If the news today is talking about that, and they were saying that, portraying that in a movie, and that's who was supposedly, and if you look at it, seriously look at it, the whole 9/11 thing, the whole Korea nuking United States thing, all of these things were foretold in movies before we ever even got to the point where the real event actually occurred. I mean,
that's why we're talking about Jericho.
Yeah, that's why we're talking about it. And the thing about it is, if you're watching it and you see how neighbors were turned against neighbors and little towns against little towns, and how the struggles of just trying to be able to eat and how they went about, you know, law and justice were literally, quite literally, you could be executed in the street by your own, you know, brothers and sisters, supposedly. And, you know,
and don't forget the mercenaries.
Yeah, mercenaries and people turning each other into what they perceive to be authorities, and the fact that the strong were in charge. Whoever was the strongest was in charge.
Now, don't we have, whoever heard of mercenaries in 2006?
Yeah.
Now we have, we're all aware of the mercenaries. We're all aware of Jade Helm.
Yeah.
We're all aware of, you know. This is interesting to me.
Private armies.
What?
There's private armies now. Blackwater.
There's private armies.
All kinds
Black
of different.
Black Swan.
Yeah.
So, here's the thing. People have been having dreams for quite a while now of foreign military in our streets, China being one of them. I don't know who else, but people have been talking about this for the last several years now, of having these weird dreams.
Do you remember the movie called Red Dawn?
I do, but it's been a while now, so well, I probably wasn't awake and aware then.
That was one where I guess the Soviet Union came over and basically conquered America, but then there was another one after that. I can't remember the actual name of it. Something, the Wolverines or something like that. And essentially, in that particular one, they had UN troops all over. I mean, the media through Hollywood has been literally, quite literally, putting out all these scenarios that would, you know, Russia's coming over to attack us, or the one world government and all this kind of stuff. It's been playing out in movies for so incredibly long.
Well, Orwell, just look at Orwell's movie. You know, look at these movies. That's why we're talking about Jericho.
Yeah.
Because these things, and, you know, not to mention War of the Worlds, right? That movie.
Well, yeah.
And even now the Pope says, I'm waiting for the aliens to come and I'm going to be the first one to baptize them.
Yeah.
And now we see bits and pieces of, in fact, well, there really may be ETs. There really may be others out there. All this is like coming, and it's all movie stuff. Like, I feel like we're talking about just a fictional life here, but in fact, we have to be clear that, you know, we're living in an delusional world and being controlled and manipulated by Hollywood and the political systems and education systems and financial systems and religious systems. Well, how do you all feel out there right now?
Yeah, there was a book. In the book, it talked about in the last days there would be this great deception that even the elect might be deceived. And so this is something that, you know, even if, I don't know why I keep saying this, because I shouldn't have to defend my faith, but I do. Even if you're a non-believer in a higher power, you can't argue the fact that there's a lot of deception going on. This memo that's coming out, this all these different conspiracies and indictments and all this kind of stuff, and people's perception of either side of Trump, however you look at it, you know, the puppet masters. If you look and see what's going on out there, people are being manipulated in so many different directions. I can understand why people are angry. I
have
really
a question
can.
I'm going to throw out to you.
Yeah.
Everyone. So, with the FISA memos, with this dirty dealing with Obama, Clinton, and various others of their minions, and to spying on Trump, you know, when Trump was running, he said that, when he became the president, I think he said he's being spied on by Obama, and everybody laughed at him and thought, yeah, he's really crazy. Well, guess what? That's true.
Yeah, he really was.
That's true. And so, with all of this stuff that we see, he spoke about, is now coming true. We look at this, and we say, wow, this man, even though I don't like him, and I think that he's a dangerous person, but I also know he's only a puppet, because the real danger is who's pulling the strings. He had been telling us. He also told us that he would put Hillary Clinton in jail when she said to him, when she made that remark when they were debating each other, and she said something like, it's a good thing we don't have people like you in the government. He said, yeah, because I would put you in jail.
Yeah.
And again, everybody thought, this man is really a nasty man. He's really a nasty person. He's crazy. He's this, he's that. But guess what? Hillary is in those documents, in that FISA memo. Now, people are saying, big news from mainstream media, and even from Comey, that this is a dud. It's all manipulated, it's no big deal, it doesn't mean anything. Don't pay attention to that. You have to do your own research, because I'll tell you, this is really a big thing that Trump is pushing here, the puppets that rule. The puppeteer that rules Trump. This has been set up for a long time now. But what is it that's being set up? So when you have indictments, sealed indictments, I don't know, thousands of sealed indictments. When you have the tribunal, the government, you know, the political tribunal or a government tribunal where people are going to be arrested in our system, people are dropping out of Republicans, Democrats are dropping out. When you have, when your government is missing so many participants, what's going to be put in its place? That's my question. What are they, the puppeteers, planning? For us, this is where we need to be concerned. You could say this is a dud, you could say it's all a lie, but something is afoot and something's being planned, and I want to know what it is. I think I do know what it is. Patty and I have talked about this. I think you guys know what it is. But the main, it's sort of like the people don't get it. And they're funneling us into a really serious place because none of them are good.
Well, even in that video series that we keep mentioning about Jericho, at the end, the supposed, with air quotes, supposed good guys to rush in to save the day, those were the bad guys all along.
That's right. And so this is what we're looking at. So those who appear to be saving the day, be very aware when someone says to you, I will save the day. I am going to make it all better. I'm going to be your savior. Watch out.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. And that's one of the things that Christians got to be real careful about is keeping an eye out for the Antichrist, the biblical, literal Antichrist. You know, the one that comes on the scene that says, hey, yeah, I'm bringing you peace and all this, and then to watch out, because that's the last thing you get. You know, that's what the book told me, so.
Well, no, I agree with you, because I think we're heading for that place because of this darkness, of this evil, and we are going to be put to the test. If you think you're in a spiritual battle now, just wait, because we are going to be put to the test, because, well, some people are saying, you may be duped to believe that this is the real true Messiah.
Yep.
And in fact, it may not be. This may be, in fact, the Antichrist. And how are you going to determine that? And I was thinking about that myself. And I realized, for me personally, I'm only going to talk about what I feel like when I am close to Creator, Great Spirit. When I've received and experienced a miracle. And I know, Shazaz, you know what I'm talking about. What that feels like. And we are talking about frequencies and energies because this is really a key piece. Because when you feel when you feel embraced by that divine love, it's a different sensation. When you are around something that is out of balance, dark, negative, or evil, it's a different feeling. It's a different frequency. And when you are going to stand there and this so-called Messiah is going to tell you, I have all the answers and I'm going to save you, you better use your truth meter, your sensory perception, and figure out what's the frequency of that being telling me, or that person telling me, that I'm going to be the savior, I'm God, or I'm creator, I'm Messiah, right?
Ain't that what the president of the United States actually said?
Pretty much. But one thing, while I'm thinking about it, something you said basically, I was telling my wife one time that, you know, if we're having as much trouble now in with these little issues that we got, you know, problems in the world, if we're having this much trouble now, how do you think we would fare if, quite literally, the Book of Revelations was playing out right before our very eyes? I mean, we were right in the mix of the whole entire deal, you know. One of the things that concerns me, and I'm thinking about when you was talking about that chip, I would never accept a chip, okay? And there's no ifs, ands, or buts. I wouldn't accept the chip. I wouldn't accept the mark of the beast. And so with that said, and according to the story, is you couldn't buy, sell, or trade without that mark of the beast, which means I wouldn't have no income, no funds, or anything. I'd only have whatever I could scrape off this land to survive on. But would my wife be able to resist getting it? Because, you know, my wife, she's going to want to make sure that everybody can eat and all that kind of stuff. Would she sacrifice her own mortality to go and accept this deal? And this is what really concerned me about the whole thing. You see what I'm trying to point out here? that people, when they're pushed, their backs are pushed so far against the wall, would they even have the strength to hold on to their faith with everything that's already been presented to them, the terrible atrocities of the world and potential, I'm going to kill you because you're a Christian kind of thing? You know, I personally...
That is a big question. That's a very excellent question. There you go.
It's an excellent question, and you know, to be honest, if you want to talk about keeping your faith and everything else, indigenous people here on the Great Turtle, you know, for almost 600 years, we've kept that faith. In actuality.
Well, and that's something that I'm really having trouble with words.
I'm going to say, except for those that were turned against their faith, Judah.
Yeah.
The ones who were in the position that Shaziz is actually talking about. When your back is to the wall, when you're in a corner and there's no hope and you can't feed your family, you're going to go where the black robes take you. You're going to say, okay, I'll go, you know, to your God because, you know, I'm going to be okay then. My family will be okay. And many of the First Nations people became Catholics, Christians. They became Methodists. They became Protestants. They turned against their own people. And that's what we're talking about happened in Jericho.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. That's exactly. Hey, we've been joined by Patty and Barry.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, I just want to add in on that. You know, there is no perfect race out there. You know,
ain't no perfect people.
Yeah, the people of Turtle Island, they have some of the most beautiful and sacred faith and their dedication to the land. Yes, but there are bad guys in there. The same thing with every other race. This is what gets us in trouble all the time is we start picking and choosing. They start saying, this is the good guy, this is the bad guy, these are good guys, these are bad guys, and look where it gets us, you know? Barb was talking about perception. That's what we have. That's the key to what we have. We can't categorize evil, and we can't categorize good, because it comes in all different shapes and sizes.
Yeah, and it comes under the guise of goodness, too.
Yes, yes. And the same can be said. One something that you might think as evil may not be evil at all. It just may be the like nature. You know, there's people that their houses, their lands are devastated by nature. The evil storm and stuff. It had nothing to do with that. It was just nature being nature, right? But like Bob was saying, discernment is what we have. That's the key that we have. Each of us has to be able to use our own discernment and the truth that's in our hearts. That's what tells us that this is good or this is not good for us. For us, you know.
Yep.
And it's the judgments that get in the way. The judgments that teach us that race is different from my race and that person is different from my person. What we need to concentrate on is perception of their walk, of who their actions affect and what their actions affect. That's what I think Barb is talking about.
Yep, and we mentioned music and the power being a powerful tool. People are seeing the world and they're singing about it. And some people want to use some of the things in music as, you know, to further an agenda, to get the troops riled up, so to speak. You know, if you look back through history, music has done some pretty amazing things as far as motivating people in this world. And you got to be really careful about the message that you're receiving through some of this stuff. And we even kind of briefly mentioned earlier about... back in the old days, they used to put subliminal and you know, backwards records and stuff. Some of that, I think, was some bands trying to get some attention. But other of it, I think, was actually, you know, the real deal kind of thing, you know, playing.
Well, they had Led Zeppelin back in the day. And if you run it backwards, it said, Satan, sweet Satan, I live for Satan. Now, the fact of the matter is, who the heck's going to do that?
Yeah.
Well, the Eagles, too, they had the same thing. But, you know, I think that's been, and we can't discount it. You can't discount it. It's the same thing with TV. We know that they are programming us through the TV, through the, what do they call it? The flash, I forget the term that they use.
Subliminal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the flash rate.
Oh, yeah, rapid flash.
Yeah. Flicker rate. There you go. Flicker rate. But we can't discount that at all. And, they've been, you know, like Jericho. Shaziz, you told me to watch that. I don't know how many days, how many times I came on the radio and I heard you talking about it. Well, I finally found it and watched it. And I went through the whole first season, practically, almost to the end of the first season before. And I'm sitting there saying, well, what's this got to do? Why would she do this show? And then all of a sudden, it starts coming out. And the similarities between the show Jericho and what's panning out today, you know. And then the second season was even more so. And that's what they do, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
That's what they've always done. But, they let us know ahead of time.
But as you was watching that, was you just blown away? Knowing the date that thing came out, and then all the things that's in the mainstream news and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's such things as coincidence, I'm sure, but this is no coincidence that somebody had basically just told the entire future and, you know, potential outcome therein, you know, of a one world government. It's creepy at the very least. You see what I mean?
Well, the correlations too between me and Barbara talked about it, about the Iran-North Korea connection. You know, that really was,
yeah, they're running around saying now that North Korea is going to nuke, they even had drills over in Hawaii or sending, texts out and scaring the crud out of people and people putting their kids down storm drains because they think a bomb's coming. Go ahead. Did we lose you? Uh-oh. What happened?
Get knocked off again.
No, oh, there you are. There you are.
All right.
I was going to say, they just had that test, that drill over there, and our anti-missile.
Was it done?
Yeah, it failed to take out the missile. And there's some fear for you. Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. Now that's going to really give other, like, people.
The good news. The good news is Trump's going to build some new supersonic, ultra great, out of the world new nuclear weapons. Isn't that great?
Yeah,
just like the beautiful clean coal.
How many nuclear weapons do we need? We got enough nuclear weapons right now on the planet to kill every living being on the planet 800 times over.
You go, Barry, you go look at this guy. What he's actually stated was, I love war.
When did he say that to, dog?
I heard him on television say it.
You know, this is the thing that gets me the most. No, and this is the thing that gets me the most. Everything I hear coming out about Trump is a lie. Because I know the man didn't say...
I actually did read that, but again, we have to always say, well, who's see, here's the thing, who is putting out...
Who's the author?
This is what we have to be very careful of. And again, you know, we are not Trumpets.
No, not a Trumpet. I am a truthette.
Yeah.
A truthette. I want truth. I don't want these made-up propaganda things that they cause. This is why we're so divided right now. Because we got these people spouting off these things that are not meant to clarify. They're not meant to tell us what is happening. They're only meant to make us angry.
Aha!
That's what we bingo! Started out with.
Bingo! Yeah. You hit it right on the head.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Finally.
Well, we started out talking about the lies and manipulation of all the systems that we are under. And the mainstream media, huh? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Mainstream media particularly, you have to know anything. What is it? Let's go down the list. What do we have? The mainstream
there's enough,
media.
Well, there's
CNN, NBC, ABC. I'm saying. Let's name the ones that are mainstream media. If you're looking at that news, you have to be very leery of what they're saying. This is what we're talking about.
Discerning.
When they say,
actually, Barb, if you go to any one of the mainstream media outlets, the story basically is the same in every media outlet.
That's exactly right. Well, what does that tell you? What does that say?
We all know that it's all controlled.
It's the same on the other side, too.
What I was saying
on the pro-Trump side. I mean, the people who are pro-Trump are just as bad as the people who are
That's true.
The only thing I was saying, it didn't come from the media. It came from Donald Trump's mouth.
Well, to me, that's not an important issue because Trump is, again, a puppet.
I know.
And they're all warmongers.
Well, the whole,
so you have to look at
not
that.
About, yeah, what it's about is what's going on to all of us, how we're all going to be affected.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with
That's why, folks, that I pointed out that series Jericho, because there's some bigger moral to that story than what is why this thing affected me so much when I watched this movie, because you actually get to get a visual of what life would be like in a worst case scenario, such as a total collapse here in the United States, how people would treat each other and so on. The people out there in this world that are making music videos nowadays, that all I can say is jump over there to ShazizRadio.com superchat.html and click on that video and read the lyrics. Just while you're listening to it, read the lyrics. This is what is the mindset of a lot of our youth of today, that the world is in such chaos, and the way that the TV glorifies, you know, like, I want to be a soldier when I grow up, and to see actual soldiers over in like Iran and Afghanistan, there's videos that come out where you see soldiers with 50 caliber machine guns shooting up people, and they're laughing about it. They're laughing. There's no humanization there. I just blew these people away. And then take a step back and look at some of the video games that are on the market today that glorify rape, robbery, shooting and death and stupid stuff. You see what I mean?
Unbelievable.
This is why. When Paul Harvey said what he said back in 1965, this is why I think it's so important that we understand where we're standing today. That the world is angry, you know?
Well, I'd like to bring it back to the discernment. You know, here's the thing is that the personal aspect of what's going on right now with this president and the presidents before, and all of the stuff that's in the news right now, this is factual stuff that we can take to the bank. There's facts in there on both sides that we can take to the bank. We know what they're doing. We know. There's no reason to start this, I'm for Trump, I'm against. You're for Trump, I'm sorry for you. I really am. But that's your place to go. But let me tell you some truth. Let's not attack the person. Let's attack the attack the things that are being done by this person, that this person is bringing about. You know, the changes that are happening right now, and discernment, like Barb was talking, that is the key thing. I mean, we've known coming into this is anybody who's read the Bible, any Christian, any non-Christian who has read the Bible and any other prophecies know this time. You know, if you have read your book and seen the prophecy, you know what this time is about.
Yeah.
You are 100% sure. And you know the people who are in governments across the globe are part of this, right?
Yeah.
So So instead of throwing these dispersions out that have no impact whatsoever on what they're doing and only separate the people, we should be doing the opposite. We should be coming together regardless and taking care of business, knowing that we've got to stop these government things from happening, from them taking our rights, from them building these armies, from them building this global system. That's where we need to be. This political zoo, the political zoo is what it is. It's a political zoo. It's not meant for anybody but us, the people, to keep us fighting amongst ourselves while they continue on with their plan. This, and I've seen this, the Q thing, you know? Me and Barb have talked about it. We've gone down this rabbit hole so many times. And, you know, Trump is the kind of charismatic person and says all the right things and does all the right things. Well, Obama was quite the charismatic person, and he said all the right things, and he did all the right things. And the prime ministers and all the different countries and everything, until they showed their colors.
Yeah.
So we know that it doesn't matter what president you are. It doesn't matter what government you're in.
Well, the book
this
does talk about
part of it.
The book does talk about wolves in sheep clothing. And
exactly.
So that's the biggest key right there, is for people, you know, to quite literally put on the full armor of their God, you know, because we're going to go down some times. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You can't go on this path that we're on as humanity with the way that nature's being treated, with the way that we treat each other, and the way that people are just angry at the world. They're angry at their God. They're angry at everything, you know?
Yes.
And this
at
is,
each other.
Yeah. And how can you have unity when you have anger amongst the people, you know? If I'm looking at you differently because of your religious or your spiritual journey, or if I'm looking at you differently because of your color, how could we ever have unity under those circumstances? I'm no better than any other living soul out here, and I'm actually no worse than any other living soul out here. But
we're better together.
Yeah, that's what we've proven here on the Knights of the Round Table. We've brought different cultures and lifestyles together, and we're talking about words of wisdom that hopefully are reaching in to, you know, touch people's heart to understand there is a different way than what we've been seeing. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Well, we're not here to scare people.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, we're all researchers. I think we're all researchers for a long time now. We've been looking at all this stuff, and I think it's because of our love of the people and our love of this earth, and that's why we're talking about what's really happening here and how we have to really come together, because they have been working very hard to separate us, and they're doing a good job of it.
Yeah,
and they're running scared, huh?
I said, please come together. This is the only thing that we have going for us. This is where the only power that we have is in our ability to come together and work together. I mean,
well, I'll
we
tell
see?
You that I keep mentioning these three words on the top of the Constitution, regardless of what anybody thinks of the Constitution or whatever. It's the we the people thing that it stands out to most of me, because number one, it's in really large bold print. We the people hold the power. We the people are the ones who created this monster that we're allowing to run over the top of us, and criminal entities have actually infiltrated every good sector of every society and
yes.
done what they do. But now we're at a stage in the game to where we have to begin to realize the entity or God that created these people out here gave us something so profound, but separated the talents and the gifts and the knowledge amongst all of us. I mean, just kind of widely dispersed it out through all of us. And the ultimate lesson to learn here is that by ourselves, we might be able to do some pretty wonderful things, but together, as humanity, the caretakers that we should have been able to been all along, we could do amazing things. We could stand against the darkness. Each one of those little candles that I keep talking about in the cave, every time you put another candle in there, it gets brighter and brighter until all the light of the goodness of this world is snuffed out. The darkness can never win, and that's what we got to be, is that light, that lighthouse on a stormy seashore, because we're going to go down a road, and this road is going to be a rough road. It's blatantly obvious.
That's why they've been working so hard to keep us against each other and blind and dumbed down, because they are afraid of the power that we have together.
Yep.
They want us fighting each other. They don't want us coming together, and the only way they can keep us fighting amongst each other is to throw these words out. Because words are what they use.
Labels.
And they use these words in this fear so that we can look at each other and see that, oh, you're the problem. No, you're the problem.
Yeah,
no,
xenophobic, homophobic. Look at all the names that they put out. There's more every day. And for everything, now you can't even say he's a boy or he's a girl. Now you don't know whether or not this is even a human anymore. It's just everything is twisted upside down. I was raised that there
deliberate.
Were men and there are women. You know, I'm sorry.
That's deliberate. That's deliberate, and I'm saying that there is something very dark about this. I'm a sort of a person who accepts people for who they are, what their heart, you know, their good hearts or their actions, right? You know, I don't make judgments against people, but I have been just observing this whole shift and movement coming, and I have to say it started quite a few years ago when this scientist was asked by this company, this pesticide company, to do research on a new pesticide they want to put out, right? And he got very alarmed, and he tried to bring it to their attention, of course, which they probably knew it to begin with and didn't want any of this good news. And they tried to dissuade him, take him down, and discredit him, and so on. Well, what he was finding out was this pesticide was actually affecting the sexual behavior and the sexual preference of these frogs. So, like, you had boy frogs more interested in boy frogs and so on, and that was very alarming. Well, that pesticide has been out now for a few years, and then you have this shift in the thinking and the behaviors of parents who are saying, well, you know, we've decided that for our toddler, because later on they may prefer to claim themselves as a different sexual preference, that we're going to dress our son in periodically in girls' clothes and vice versa.
Wow.
Just so there's no confusion there. Well, you talk about confusion.
Yeah.
So you have this insanity, that's insane. Come on, where is that coming from? You have these people in Europe in this town in France, I can't remember which one it was. It's almost 2 years I was looking at this video on these families, these parents who were outraged about what their local school was introducing their little children to. This sexual, you know, differences and how to, if you were a boy, how to relate to having sex with a boy or vice versa, and they're teaching this in the schools. Where is that coming from? I mean, this is becoming so bizarre. There's like this spike in this transgender, and again, I'm not judging people. I'm just curious, and I just do research, and I'm looking at trends, as I've been doing for years. I'm saying there's a trend here that is very strange and concerning.
Well, you know, the good book said, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Paul Harvey said it in 1965, and we're living it today. We're seeing things that, man, during my lifetime, I'm only 52, but during my lifetime, there were things that you just didn't say on TV and radio. Nowadays, it's the norm, and they got people dressing up like drag queens and going to children's school. My personal belief is that a child should be allowed to be a child until they grow up and they learn and they pick and choose which direction they want to go with their life, you know, from the knowledge that has been shared with them. Not that you force some sort of weird issue on them that they may not agree. It might be a little Christian child sitting there, you know. Yeah, it might be his family's a custom or whatever. And you know, how do you justify, you know, putting that kind of stuff? If you did the same thing on any other culture out there, I'd feel the same exact way. You know, you'd forcing your beliefs on people. At one hand, people out there who believe in freedom, they want to holler about separation of church and state, but they're yet still willing to allow the government to have its hand in the church at the same time. I mean, a separation is a separation, no matter how you look at it. Most of the churches that I see today are under a 501(c) tax exempt status, and to me, that's counterproductive to what it should be, because now the government says, well, we won't make you pay taxes as long as you don't talk about these certain subjects. Well, where'd all the freedom go? Where's the freedom of religion there? You can't say what you believe about the president because you could get you lose your tax exempt status for your charity or whatever. You see what I'm saying?
Well, political and religious have always been together. Even in the earliest times, if you go back to the Roman times, you'll find the same things that the Bible is talking about in Revelations that happened then.
Yep.
What we've got to do, I think, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, is forget about the things that have no bearing on where we want to be, and concentrate only on the things that get us there. And this is what they have been so good at. None of this that we are experiencing today is by mistake or coincidence. All of this has been manufactured decade after decade, insinuated into our societies little by little. And it's always a good thing. It's always going to help us. That's the only reason why these laws are made and these things are done. Is to make a better society.
Yeah.
And we buy it because on the face of it, it looks good. It looks like something. Now we're in a time where up is down.
I think
where love is hate, racism, which is racism,
where war is peace.
This thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is where I think that the people need to start figuring out how to use the power that they got. I think that the focus actually needs to get away from all the craziness of the world and focus in on that individual to be able to ask themselves, why am I angry? Who made me angry? And how do I get around this? And how do I remain focused on the ultimate goal? You see what I'm trying to say here?
Because it's the anger and the rage, or the level of rage that's rising, that distracts people from the real stuff that's going on, from clarity, where they can't think straight. And so that's part of the agenda, is to pit us against each other and have us arguing up and down, you know, on every issue, arguing about this and that. And that's part of the agenda, to keep us spinning.
Yeah, that's the key right there. That's the key to unlocking the key, the true power that's in every individual. You got to ask yourself, I know I'm angry, but why am I angry, and who made me angry? What was their purpose behind it? And then that way you can pick your and choose your path forward to making this world a better place. At starting with yourself, because somebody mentioned it in the chat room. I think it might have been Patty said it in there. Somebody did it earlier. It might have been Barbara. I don't know, but somebody in there mentioned about charity starting at home. Does that ring a bell to either one of you?
Barb said it, because I wasn't here.
Yeah, Barb said it.
No, I didn't say it. It must have been that somebody.
Oh, it might have been Stephen said it. Either way, he was talking about how, you know, I was looking kind of drained, which I am. I'm pretty drained because I've been fighting this battle for a long time and doing a lot of work, and I've got a lot of personal things going on that I'm trying to take care of people and such, but it's really taken its toll in the world itself. You know, when I look out there and I'm trying to throw my positive pebbles out there, you know, it does drain the energy from you, and so
it does.
I'm kind of tired, but I'm holding my own. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying this is why I'm in the shape that I'm in. But I got to put these words of wisdom out there, because we live in a world that I feel like right now, I mean, I put a question mark on there, angry world question mark, because I wanted to open this dialogue. Do you think the world is angry? Do you think the actual Earth itself is angry? I think the whole entire deal is angry. I think the whole balance between good and evil and justice is so tilted in the wrong direction, and people are struggling to try to get that balance back. You know?
Well, it's the frequency too.
Yeah.
You know, what we've got going on right now. So, how many years have we been fed fear? How many over? You know, since 9/11. Things have been at a breakneck pace of fear. We were so close. We were so close in unity, coming together, 7-8 years ago. We were so close. And look at us now. Look at us now. And we were providing solutions. We were looking for solutions. We were doing what we could to change things. And now look at us. We're fighting over words that these puppets are saying.
With that thought, let me bring you back to the past for a second. Do you remember way back when you and me and Barbara and Three Dog met, and how we were on different networks, and how the network was doing just what you were saying, and then somehow or another there was these big disruptions that came in, and then we'd rebuild another network, and then it happened again and again and again. You remember that?
Yes. Yes.
We were through some struggles. Some serious struggles and some serious internalizing or whatever infighting that was going on. Shaziz Radio, for all its credit, as long as I've been holding on to this thing right here, I haven't allowed that. You know, I understood back then that a good thing was being disrupted. The people were working hard. They were trying to put a good message out and solutions, just like you said. And you know, for as long as I can hold this boat together with duct tape and bailing wire, I'm gonna do it because I believe in people just like you.
You know, me and Barb have spent within the past 6 months. We have spent thousands of hours going through everything that is happening right now with a fine tooth comb. We have been down rabbit holes left and right. And always, we come up with the same. Everything that is happening now here in the United States is happening across the globe in every country. We know this. We know we're being played. We know we're being manipulated. But this is the thing, is that we can only be played if we choose to be played. They can't force us to do anything. It takes courage. It takes something that you have to pull up, because like you were talking about earlier, when that chip comes out, you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make, and it doesn't matter what the POTUS says, and it doesn't matter what your government says, it matters what you do. So, if we know this, and we know that the ultimate comes down to you and me and the choices that we make, we should be thinking about those choices, and we should be coming together, because, Shaziz, I know you're not going to take a chip.
Nope.
Two-Dog, I know you're not going to take a chip. Barb, I know you're not going to take a chip. Barry's not going to take a chip. Steven's not going to take a chip. Nobody's that we know of is going to take a chip. So we have unity. This is where we need to be. We need to be tackling the things that we can change, that we can make, because these words from these people in high places, they're just words. They cannot do anything unless we allow them to do it. And what I mean by we, every individual on this earth carries a responsibility and an onus.
Yep.
To what is happening now.
I used to tell my children that.
We allow it.
I feel that I'm agreeing there with you, and I'm also thinking of the seriousness of this, because we know that they're setting it up so that we will be entirely dependent upon the system, and that if we don't have a chip, we won't eat, we won't be able to travel, we will be just left on our own. But if we have people standing with us, at least we have the people standing with us. But ultimately, what we really need is that spiritual foundation and faith. I do believe that, because this is that time of the spiritual test that will be coming. And so I do believe that. And I remember the words of my teacher, Wallace Blackout, who used to talk about what was coming. And it was not pretty. And he said, the only way you're going to get through, and now he spoke, of course, about the Chinampa, the sacred pipe, because that is what we, you know, the most powerful implement that was given to us by the White Buffalo Calf Woman, which was sent by Great Spirit. That's our faith, all right? That is my spiritual pathway. And that has a power, an unknown power, and a direct line, a direct link to Creator. And he said the only way you're going to make it through when these times come is to stand behind that Chinampa. Now, that doesn't mean you have to follow this Lakota way. It doesn't mean you have to carry a Chinampa. It doesn't mean anything. What it means is stand behind what that represents, which is compassion and love and courage and endurance and so on. And the goodness that you walk in a sacred manner, that you live for the good of all, that your behavior is the, you know, part of the original instructions, that we're all in this together, we're all family, we help each other, we're in unity, we are stewards of the earth. This is the life of the Chinampa way, that we don't do drugs, we don't do alcohol, we don't have any blood on our hands, that we are compassionate and good people standing together. That's what that means. And of course, it relates directly to Creator, the original instructions. Period.
Think about this. Who does more harm? The government who delivers edicts, or the person who turns on his neighbor because of them? You know?
Yeah.
This is where we're at right now. Is we have to look at this seriously. We really have to look at it and see, how are you with your neighbor? And wouldn't it be a shame? Wouldn't it be a shame if the only person that was there to help you happened to be on the other side of the political venue and you just couldn't see your way past that?
I tell you, one of the things that disturbs me about modern day society is the fact how we actually elevate celebrities and leadership up to almost like godlike status, to where we allow them to pretty much have a choice of whether we live or die, you know. And I keep thinking about the Native Americans and how their family structure is, and how grandma and grandpa, they don't go to the old folks' home like modern day society, you know, when you no longer have the time or compassion to take care of people. You just ship them off to an old folks' home and let some total stranger take care of your loved ones. You know, and I'm thinking, like you said earlier, everything seemed to be upside down. It's not like it used to be back in the day. Things are so, it's wrong. It feels wrong. You know?
Yeah.
And there's where the discernment, I think the power of the discernment, I think it's inside that heart. That's where that's where it draws its power from. You can tell, like you said earlier, Patty, when you're in the presence of something that you can feel it. You know, I think maybe Barbara might have said that. I don't know.
I did say it. Because we know, we all know here on this panel what I'm talking about. When I said the differences of how to use our discernment tool, because we're going to need it. Better start developing it. When you are in the presence of something that is real and of the light and divine and sacred and powerful, you know the difference. You feel the difference as when you are around something that is negative or dark or hurtful. You know the difference, and that you know it because you feel it. It's not a thinking process. So this is not a thinking process that we're talking about.
And the most powerful tool that we have is love.
Yep.
That's the most powerful tool. And if we come at life and at people, at every individual, it's not You know, you can't control what another person does. You can only control what you do. And if you step away from love because this person is angry and join that person in anger, then you have stepped wrongly. You know, you have stepped out of your discernment. So
we have to be, yeah. I was going to say, I'm hearing you and you're right on. I feel this is a big issue. It's a fine line between love and anger. Love and resentment, love and judgment. You know, I'm just going to keep saying love. Love and judgment, love and negativity, love and, you know, violence, love. You can't have love, unconditional love, if you are angry, if you are negative, if you are judgmental, if you are jealous, you can either be one or the other. So you have to choose. Here we are again. But we are triggered very quickly, very rapidly, to get angry and frustrated at each other. Even we all do it.
Yep.
And that's part. Go ahead.
That's how society has conditioned us to think, Barbara.
Yeah.
You fill people full of junk from the time they are old enough to watch a video or understand this mechanical toy they've got in front of them and what it's putting into their brains, have no conception of what is right and wrong. How could we ever, ever expect our society to start going in the right direction when our children are being contaminated and corrupted right from the first day in school? Why are we not going to the schools and standing up as parents and saying this is wrong? Why are we allowing sex education programs in schools that teach grade 4 children how to use a dildo? Why are we allowing that to go on? Where are the parents? Why are we not down at the schools screaming, we're going to put a stop to this crap? It's going on everywhere. Well, it all comes down to one thing. It's called the destruction of the family. Destruction of the moral basis of the human being turned us into animals.
Tell you one thing for a fact.
And that's exactly what's going on.
I tell you one thing for a fact. I go to my schools. If my granddaughters come home one day and there's some things that are inappropriate for their age being taught, I will be the first one up there standing in school. I'll be the one being toted off by the law, man, because I'll be the one shouting the loudest at the school get together or whatever about, you know, the difference between right and wrong. You know, and that's what
the average is. Yeah, where's the rest of the people?
That's what I'm saying. That's what everybody needs. If you're not happy with the way that this world is playing out, then you have to be proactive. Each and every one of you listening in out there, you're so much more important than you can imagine. You know, if everybody just sits around, well, you know, it's too big, I can't do nothing about it, we're doomed, and that's all there is to it, and I'm just going to stick to my own and my little circle and whatever. You know, you're fooling yourself, because your little circle is going to keep getting smaller and smaller as society encroaches on your freedoms and your safety because of all the craziness. You got to get out there and show people what it means to be good. That's what you got to do.
Exactly, Shaziz. But you know what? Unfortunately, what you just said about this response from people is so true. I hear it all the time from people. What can I do? What can't stop these guys? We're just one little voice sitting here in a coffee shop. I can't do anything about what's going on inside our government. I can't do anything about what's going on inside of this or that. And that attitude is everywhere.
It's been conditioned to our brain.
Not to get involved, to ignore it.
How many minds and hearts did Martin Luther King inspire with his words alone?
Think about this.
I'm sorry, T-Dog. I'll give it to you in a second. But I think this is important that it's not the government that we have to worry about. It's not. I know this is going to sound crazy. It's not the government that we have to worry about. It's not the school systems that we have to worry about. We are the ones we have to worry about. We have to stop making excuses for why we're in this position. We have to recognize that we've all been played. We have all been played. We have been manipulated. We have been brought to this very point because we chose to step in that direction. We chose, each and every one of us has a part to play in where we're at today. And we also have a part to play in changing everything. But we can't change the government. You cannot do it. You can't do it. You can't change your government. You can't change the system, because it was built to do exactly what it's doing. So where does the change have to come from? It has to come from each and every individual. And until we can get that and realize that we're all in the wrong to one extent or another, I think all of us have to make that change.
I think Barry said it one time best. He said something about you have to change the hearts of the people before you get any change in the world.
Exactly.
Well, it's so true, though, Patty. You know, I mean, I look at society now, and what we talked about here, what you guys have been talking about in the last hour, is so true. It resonates with me left, right, and center, the fact that society now, our souls of our society, our moral basis in our society, is being taken away from us, that we have no moral structure in society anymore. It shocks me, some of the games that I see coming out. I was glancing it around at some of these commercials and some of the games that are being put in front of 6 and 7 year old kids. It absolutely shocks me to the core. But it's only a small sector of society that's funneling and making all these changes that we see.
Exactly.
Very, very small sector of society. Most of society still, believe it or not, have good moral hearts. But why we're not standing up, why people are not getting involved, physically is a question that we all really, really need to ask ourselves, is why are we not actively involved? Well, I am trying to be actively involved.
I think people have to go
through. And I know everybody here is actively trying to get involved.
I think people are going through this process. We talked about the different levels of emotional states through the various psychological influences that we experience. We started out talking about the music, and its influence, you know, the complacency level of music, the patriotic level of music, the culture of love during the 60s, and now we have the raging, we have the level of the raging music. You know, so
yeah.
I think people are angry, and I said earlier that we have to have, that anger is a good thing, but healthy anger, and where are you directing your anger? This is a key piece, because we're being manipulated to direct it at each other.
Yep.
Which is, you know, we have to be aware of this, right? And we need to find the source of this manipulation and these grave assaults upon us. And now, I think the people have a right, and they should feel angry. Rage is a whole other level. That's where we have to be careful, because rage brings people to a point of doing great harm.
Yep.
And violence and so on. So I think our country and the world is now in a different level of awakening and realization and frustration, and they're shifting into this level of, you know, we were talking about the music influence and the words and so on, and the frequency and the level of the frenetic music, because it is frenetic. Like the headbanger music, to me, I was saying that the energy of it, the frequency of it, is frenetic and spinning and crazy, you know. So I can't. To me, it's the frequency. You have to realize what that does. And I, as a spiritual person and one who does not listen to a lot of music now, I'm very selective. That type of music, like certain other things, affects me, and I avoid it, so I'm very selective. But you have our young people being drawn into this level of, you know, frenzy and craziness and spinning and
I look at it, Barbara, only because I want to recognize what the enemy is doing.
Yeah.
When I see some of this stuff that I see now, it brings a bad feeling inside of me. I don't even want to be on that page, because I know, without a shadow of a doubt, there's demons jumping off that page and going right into my heart.
Well, I'm just wondering.
There's a rave club now, Barbara,
right,
in Germany.
Well, they call them raves.
They pour blood over people.
They
do this for a ceremony, and I'm going, my God,
well,
how much farther is it going?
Well,
but we know what's behind it all, Barbara.
This is the manipulation of people's behavior, like you get used to, and it's a ho-hum thing when war is on the TV, when you're in those video games, and you're blowing people apart, and blood is everywhere, and body parts everywhere. It's just to numb people down to this. But I'm just wondering, about where we're headed as, you know, humanity, where we are headed, because we've reached this, maybe we haven't fully reached into the whole wave of rage behavior. You have two different things going on here, I think, because there are people who are awakening and coming together, and then you have this other part of the culture who's going into this rage, venting anger, rage, and violence. So I'm just looking at these two pieces and just trying to find, okay, the reflection of that part of manipulation, and then the moving away from being manipulated, and then observing, as we are observing, the manipulation continuing, people funneling them into this rage and violence.
Well, you know, the good book does say very, very clearly about the end times of this particular time we're in right now, and it says, you know, that there's going to be a great spiritual awakening on the planet.
And I think that's happening.
Towards the truth, and there's also going to be a great rise in Satanism and evil on our planet. And there is going to be a great war fought between these two entities.
Well, folks,
and I see that happening right now. I see a spiritual awakening happening in this planet.
If
all over the place.
We're down there to the wire. This subject, I could stay on here all day long if I could get by with it, but because there's so much to be said. So I'm going to ask each one of you a question. I'll start off with Two Dog because he wanted to talk earlier and he kind of got, I don't know, we lost
the group. Sorry, Two Dog.
But I want you to think, seriously, if this was the last message of hope or wisdom that you had to give to anybody, under the current circumstances in this angry world that we live that we find ourselves in, if you had one message that you needed to deliver to everybody who is listening to this show, that they could pass that message on to the rest of the world, what would that message be? Two Dog, you want to go first?
One of the things I've always tried to do with people, and that's people of all colors, all races, all creeds, all religions, is that there's no true difference other than maybe culture with us. You know, we all love our wives, our husbands, our children. When we come home, we always play with the kids. We eat together. We're not different at all. That's the fact. We're all the human being here. Now, I think that what this has done in America has separated us racially, spiritually, in every other way. And it shouldn't be. Because honestly, I was setting uptown, one, you know, and letting my wife do something. And she was in the building, and I seen this guy from India. And he was talking on the phone in his own language. And then these two people, one on one side of me, one on the other, in a car, they started watching this guy, and I looked over to my left, and the guy on my left clicked a 9. And I had to get him out of there before they decided to do what they were thinking.
Is that
and,
a dog?
Yeah. So I told the guy, go in the store, talk all you want to, because I saw it, and it scared me to death. That is how separate, if there is no United States, and that's what has to be. We have to come together and understand that we're all human beings here. It's ridiculous how this world's getting. Now, as far as the metal music goes, I've been listening to it since 1968, I guess. Rest in peace, Lemmy Kills, Mr. Thank You, Motorhead. And as far as Ronnie James Dio, rest in peace, brother. All the world has kings and kings and queens. They blind your eyes and steal your dreams. It's heaven and hell. What do you think? Dave gave me a lot of messages of what's actually going on in this world.
So with all that knowledge, what would be the words that you'd want to say to everybody if you could have their ear just for a minute?
if I could have their ear for just 1 minute. If you're out and you believe in Christianity, or you believe in a God, or you believe in Wakan Tonka, Gichi Manitou, Buddha, whatever, and there is somebody down that needs to be picked up, and if we're all made and we're all children of that God, do the right thing and reach your hand out and pick them up and help them.
Well said, brother. Well said. What about you, Barry?
Well, you know, in my heart, I know there's events about to unfold on this planet that I am not going to be able to stop. I am completely at peace with the thought of the rise of the Antichrist, the persecution that's going to come. What we're going to see happen on this planet is going to be things that we've never seen before, and it's going to shake the human race right to the core. But to me, the most important thing in my life right now is that I start my morning with a prayer. And when I don't, my day does not go well at all. I can't stop what's going to happen. I honestly believe the book is going to be played out exactly the way it was wrote. The prophecies that are talked about, the future of the planet, the way it's going to all play out, I see it all coming right now. And every day, another piece of the puzzle seems to be falling in place. And we are in very interesting times. Like I said, the most important thing for me is to really, really kind of connect every morning with Lord Jesus Christ.
So if
and
you,
he seems to give me strength, and he seems to give me
so if you,
wisdom.
If
and
you had
ever, I thank him for that. The courage is what I ask for all the time, Shaziz, because we're going to see some pretty scary times on the planet.
So with all that said, and your beliefs, with if you had 1 minute of every ear on this planet and had a message to give them, what would it be?
Connect with Jesus Christ. Connect with him and you'll feel a change in your life. You'll feel a change in your soul. There's things in my life earlier, Shaziz, that I did that I am so ashamed of. But you know what? That man does not exist in me anymore. That man, I have been forgiven for the sins in my life. And I'm a different man now. I don't feel, I don't think, I don't want to do things that I did earlier in my life that's all gone. I just want to reach people and tell them, look, you know, we're going to see some crazy stuff happen. And when this happens, make sure you're connected, because if you're not, everything else is irrelevant. Nothing else matters. It's
yeah.
all irrelevant. It's a fleeting moment in time when we talk about eternity and what you believe is eternity, what you believe, where your soul's going, and your whole concept of life, it's all going to be irrelevant. We could see a collapse in society in 48 hours with the collapse of the dollar. If you listen to world economists right now, we are on a tipping point right now for complete global collapse of economies.
Yeah.
Well, you know, folks, if that happens, everything gets turned upside down. And it opens the door for the implementation of a one world government, a new currency, the mark of the beast. It's all being played out. The cashless society is all being set up for this event that's going to change our lives forever. So that's what I see coming, guys. That's what I honestly believe, and that's what I feel. And I have to start my day in prayer, because I tell you, that devil, he's knocking on my shoulder all the time. And if I give him an inch, he'll take a mile. And I experienced that a little while ago.
I feel you, brother.
And, I got him out. I got him out.
I feel
he ain't
you.
Getting back in, man. I'll tell you.
So what about
to
you, Barbara?
To hell with him. That's what I got to say, folks.
Yeah. What about you, Barbara? You still there?
She might. You needed, Barb?
Go ahead, sis.
Well, I just want to, I think it's so hard because I know that right now the world is in a raw state, that we have been agitated to the point of combustion against each other. But it's not important what the world does. It's really not. It's important what I do. It's important how I deliver myself to the world to the people. And anger is not something that you have no control over. Love is not something that you have no control over. You are the only ones that have control over your anger and your love. And every individual on this earth is valid for one reason or another. I cannot put my faith and my truth in any entity of governance or in any person. I can only put my truth and my faith in my own spiritual experience and my own physical expression of that. So if I meet someone on the street who is angry, I can't meet that person with anger, even though that person may call me the worst thing on earth, even if that person decides to persecute me. It's not what they do. It has no bearing. What they do has no bearing. Only what I do has bearing. And if I come in love and I come in truth, then I have the ability, I have a greater power to change the world around me for the better. If I come in anger, then I continue the cycle of anger and hate. So if there's one thing I want to leave with you, is be conscious of yourself in this time. Be conscious of what you give to the world and what you give to the universe. You know, there's a song that says, "What if God was one of us?"
Yeah.
Well, He is. It is. Whatever you decide, God is. It's every one of us.
So if you had every ear on this planet for 1 minute, what would be your message?
Love. Love. Come together. Turn away from the things that don't matter. And the things that don't matter are the constructs that have been erected to tear us down. If we turn away from them and we turn toward each other, then at least, no matter what happens, at least we have done our part to make things right, to create a place of love and understanding for any of those who come toward us.
Very well said. Very well said. How about you, Barbara?
You know, thank you everyone for being here again. It's been really an amazing discussion here. And, you know, I always ask when I'm going to lead a ceremony or speak to people, I always ask Creator to help me to say, you know, the words or something that might touch someone and help someone. And, you know, so I feel that... You know, we've had a long couple of hours here of discussion talking about the things of troubles, troubling things, concerning things, and the wrongs, and so on. And, you know, I'm very well aware of these things. So I just asked, you know, Tukashula to help us all to know that to be wise and to be aware and to be awake and to be alert, but to not be caught in this negativity, to not be caught into this fear. I ask Tukashula always to help us to be awake. One of our prayers is to be alert, to have courage, to have endurance, to be patient, and to have alertness. So the word alert is very important too. I ask that of Tukashula, Great Spirit, to help everybody to be alert, to have courage, and to endure. And mostly, I guess I'd say endure these troubling times. In order to endure, we need something strong. We need something really strong and solid and sure. And so I know for me, that is my realization and connectedness to Great Spirit. And I know that we've talked about troubling things. I just want to say to the people, it is not to put fear into you. It is not to help to make you feel hopeless or helpless. It's because we have a great love for all of you people. And I guess we're all here doing a part. We're playing a part. We're all responsible to take positions. And sometimes the messengers are shot down or killed. Don't kill the messengers, I just want to say. And I guess my main point is, even though I do this research and even though I go in to these places, like Patty and I and all of you, I go into these places and I take, like in a moment, I could go, wow, this is daunting. Wow, this is, oh, you know, it's like huge. And I go into that place, but I quickly get out because I need to get out. I mean to turn around and step back a few paces to what I know is true. What I know is the power. What I know is light. What I know is love. What I know is compassion. The most powerful that we have, the ability to choose. This is what we all have. And to not be in fear, to not give up hope, to not just sit down and lie down and give up, because we can make it through this. And it is about the individual journey. It is about a spiritual journey. This is about a lifetime journey that we have been coming towards for millennia here. This is an amazing, powerful, extraordinary time, I believe, that we are in. And it's historical in a way, but I think we've been here before, but we've reached a point in time where we really are being asked by our Creator, whether you believe in one or not, you're being asked to fulfill your purpose here. Not to be in fear. Don't let this fear grab you and take you and give up hope. The foundation is ours to build. Our faith is ours to build. What we're going to hold on through this storm is ours to build, to create. You know, like we always say, there's a raging river. We have to let go of the shore. The only way you can let go of the shore and go out into that raging river, because that river has a destiny. And the way rivers run is they run through rapids and they go over waterfalls and then they find this little place where it's quiet and silent and there's a rest period. That's where the river's going. So the destiny is ours. You can't let go of the shore unless you have trust and faith that you will be all right no matter what.
So with that said, those brilliant words of wisdom, if you had the entire world, the ears of the entire world for 1 minute, what would you say?
I'd say you're going to be asked to let go of the shore. We are being asked to let go of the shore. So have the trust and faith that you're going to be all right. No matter what comes, we will be all right. That's through your trust and your faith.
Wow. I think that just about everything that could be said has been said on today's Knights of the Round Table. We started off a subject with a question mark, angry world. A lot of people going through a lot of hard times, a lot of sicknesses, and a lot of misery and pain and destruction, and don't necessarily think we're all the way through it just yet. But what I do believe in the creation that all these people that are suffering all these things together, we're all in the same boat together. And I don't believe that all hope is lost until it's completely over. And even if we do have to struggle through the entirety of every prophecy that was ever made, that sounds so terrible that I believe that they're together, at the very least, we'll comfort one another and we'll make it through to the other side of this journey that we've been on. And so every time that you can use that power of the spoken word to uplift somebody's spirit in these troubled times, maybe even the power of prayer where you can actually come together and give them the power to heal themselves or heal each other, to do the things that Two Dog and Barbara and Patty and Barry's been trying to tell you all along, to do what's right when it's time to do things right. I believe that just like the book says, that there's a time and a purpose for every season under the sun. I hate this part of the show.
Shaziz, I can say real quick before we get off, and I want to say this in the memory of John Trudell. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a time when spirits get eaten, and we got to protect our spirit. you know, that's one of the things I'm trying to do too.
I hate this part of the show because, number one, there's so much wisdom being poured out of the hearts, good hearts, from a lot of good people from around the world. There's a lot of good people doing a lot of wonderful things. You know, and I have tears of joy in my eyes. I have tears of sadness because I don't want to see people having to go through terrible things. But I honestly believe that the true hope lies in the true power, which is the people. And if you ever decide to come together to do what we've all been talking about, to put those governments and the systems off to the side, don't even give them a never mind anymore. Focus on each other. Focus on the true power. Ask yourself why you're angry. Ask yourself who made you angry. And for what purpose you can use that anger to do something right in this world and make this world a better place. That's all we can ask. If you've heard any of these words in this show and they resonated in your heart, and you know that somebody out there is feeling down on themselves and the world, and they're writing the angry songs, they're living the angry songs, give them this message. Let them hear Barry's words. Let them hear Two Dog's words. Let them hear Barbara's words. Let them hear Patty's words. Let them hear my words. Let them hear the words of all the wonderful individuals that had spoken to the world to try to bring together the people in peace and unity. That's our best hope. And the light doesn't go out until you shut it off. Patty said you got the power.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call a scene to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our show's the
the given lines that are by some single able. We'll rock the magic hell of preaching from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the Pramalot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Sir Zeus the Terrible! All those who are king, Sir Zeus the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table!